welcome to Nerd's Eye View.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
This is episode 195. You're hearing this on the 5th of August or later. Welcome. I'm Andrew. Over to my right is the chuckling man.
I can't speak English.
We call him the chuckler.
Tee.
That wasn't so much a chuckle as a tee hee, but
was
okay.
A giggle at best.
Well, I didn't say he was named well.
At least I'm not the broker.
What is your name, Chuckler?
Chuckling Matt.
And then to my left, yeah. I have Game Master General of Thrones, Mr. British Senior French?
Yeah.
Yeah,
close.
Order swap, but yeah.
I always swap it. What is your real name?
Matthew Benson.
And then kind of diagonally to me, I have the marinara-er.
Marinara-er.
Sauce it up.
Huh?
I'm a
spread of sauce everywhere.
I'm a saucy character, what can you say?
And your name is?
My name is Giacomo Jones. Actually, I am the king of Sausage Fest, Wisconsin. I don't know.
Were you aiming for Sausage King of Chicago?
I was aiming for... I can't brain today. I has the dumb.
Okay.
David King here. Hi, everybody.
They do the sausage race in Wisconsin.
Like that?
Yeah.
So when you say sausage race...
That...
We're talking about wiener dogs, right?
Race.
Like,
race. No, I mean, like, sausage. Men in sausage costumes, and they run around the ballpark every day.
That's not nearly as adorable as the mental image I have, which is just wiener dogs running in and running through an arena.
Let's all do our mental images. Mine?
I think that might be illegal.
Mine was a sort of Guinness Book of World Record style giant sausage, which was then hollowed out and had wheels put on and braced.
Do you want to know mine?
Yes, that's what we're
okay,
doing.
So
around the table.
You pick a sausage, and then you set it on the ground, and you have to use a stick to roll it as fast as you can down a street. Yeah,
kind of like a horseshoes or something.
There you go.
Well, kind of like the cheese wheel race. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Roll, that you just hock down a hill and then you race the cheese.
Yeah, but similar to the fact that you're chasing the food.
But this is, well, it's man versus food.
Man
versus cheese race.
Man versus cheese.
But in the sausage race you describe, it seems as though you are on one team racing.
Well, yeah, you're pushing your sausage around.
Yeah. I kind of like Benson's idea, though, because basically everybody's driving the Wienermobile.
Yeah, but a real-life version of it.
And
yeah,
I feel like Andrews would have some sort of failure
really
akin to
like,
Milhouse throwing the banana.
Really hungry.
Yeah, it smells good the first day, I would say.
It's like the Rose Parade. It looks really pretty for a day, and then just everything goes dead.
You keep it in the fridge
parade?
Overnight. You gotta put it.
Yeah,
in
they're real. The whole parade is made of flowers.
I don't watch parades. I'm a heterosexual. I apologize.
I thought you were a true American.
I apologize for that joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you not watch the Thanksgiving
like
parade or the
community?
It's the Tournament of Roses parade, Benson. Come on.
Or the flower community.
Yeah, I apologize to everyone.
I cherish both parades because I'm an American.
I've never loved a parade. It's what have you?
Don't you know folks? America invented parades?
I don't.
Come on.
Actually, I think that was Brazil, but pretty much Brazil didn't need to get liberated. Someone said you're good, and they had a party, and they haven't
That's
stopped.
Filthy
they
foreigner
have not
propaganda,
stopped.
America.
This is Nerd's Eye View.
Where did we go?
Where did we
someone
go?
Said sausage, and we ran.
I am so
for
sorry.
Our lives.
I stand by everything I did except for the gay comment.
You better. We will be reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy, if you couldn't tell from the impromptu singing that started.
And groove.
But that's later, and even after that, we'll be playing Guess the Ending, where we look at what's coming out new in theaters, and then guessing how those films end. Before that, we're going to tell you what's new on DVD, Blu-ray, and TVD. Before that, we're going to talk about the box office. But to start it off,
I just had an idea that I feel is important.
Shit. Well, we're going to get the news, but first, Benson's idea.
From now on, you should end Guess the Ending. You should end that segment by saying, hey, now it's time to end the guessing.
And that's been Benson's
good night,
idea.
Everybody. This is why we have you.
You can see why I couldn't let that wait.
No, you couldn't let that go. Never let me go. Listen, what's the news?
I'm on the
Mr.
wrong
Seuss?
Podcast. I can't. I can't even look. Okay.
You can do it. I believe in you.
It takes two men to be Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Until he makes a really good movie again, I'm calling him Statham.
It's really interesting because Justin of Agents of Guard brought this to my attention.
I'll punk him.
Yeah, Justin Keys on. They're going to be making a Transporter prequel?
Yes, please.
But they're calling it the Transporter Legacy.
Sounds correct.
And instead of Jason Statham, it'll be another guy playing a younger version of his character. And the other guy's Ed Skrein? Skrein? I'm not sure. He was on Game of Thrones for a minute.
What did he play?
He was not Bluebeard. What was... Dario Naharis?
He was the other Dario, the first Dario Naharis?
Yeah. Okay. Which, yeah, I was told he was supposed to have a blue beard.
He has a green beard.
Oh, well, I'm just always disappointed that that's not in the movie.
Green beard.
Or the movie? The TV show.
At least one gold tooth.
So he was the original of that character, and then it says, in fact, he dropped out of Game of Thrones to do this Transporter movie, which I'm still not sure that's the right idea.
Yeah.
Keep that agent. Keep that agent.
This movie will be directed...
I love the Transporter movies. Well, that is dumb. Well, that is a dumb thing.
But it's not even... It's not Jason Statham.
Yeah.
That's the first problem.
Yeah.
And
we'll have a cameo.
But... And the director is actually going to be the director from Brick Mansions, Camille Delamire.
Hmm. Oh,
Mansions, which we reviewed a while ago.
Yeah.
I assume all people named Camille are Bill Cosby's wife.
It actually could be a male Camille. I don't know. Okay. It's French.
Oh,
so
one of those.
you think on that?
Apologies to the French.
It's an offensive podcast.
But here's another weird thing: one of the people writing the script is one of the people from who wrote Tower Heist. So let's just take that.
You think there'd be someone opening a door for someone else?
Wasn't there talk of a joint crossover sequel between the Transporter and something else for a while? I'm looking.
Crank, at Crank, maybe.
But that's
how would that work?
Statham.
I don't know.
Playing both roles?
Not a Fast and Furious type thing.
I don't think that.
Transformers.
I think you're thinking of Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Because I remember when the Transformers G.I. Joe rumor broke, I thought, oh, this is like the thing they were talking about with the Transporter a couple of years ago.
Was it another car? Are you sure it wasn't Fast and Furious? Because now they have Statham. Yeah. They've taken him.
They're going to do...
Whoa, what?
After all this time...
Liam Neeson, they've taken him.
Yeah.
After all this time, they're going to do a sequel to Schindler's List that is combined with the Transporter franchise. are you turning my... The world needs to know.
I'm turning you up because you've distanced yourself further from mic testing.
You were turning my mic off because you had had enough.
No, I have to... Well, yeah, I have to silence all conspiracies.
Are you a member of the Illuminati?
I can't speak about that, and now I have to turn you off. So...
This will just be Andrew talking alone by the end of this.
By the end, yeah.
No, it'll just be me and Andrew, because I know when to keep my mouth shut.
Yes. Yes. But part of the description of the plot is that he meets a lady, and then they have to take down Russian human traffickers, because the Russian human traffickers have kidnapped Frank's father.
Now, are these Russians who traffic humans, or people who traffic Russian humans?
It could be both.
Okay.
Russian humans are... humans too. So.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
Are you going to have to apologize to Russians next?
No, I think that's a weird...
You have to keep apologizing to different groups.
I'm going
to
say that David should make an apology, because in no way did I ever imply that Russians were not human.
Yankee.
But that's clearly on your mind,
Mr.
King.
I don't think I ever saw Transporter 3. Did Frank's dad ever come up as anything?
I did see it, and I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't remember that either.
Because I remember, are we going to see a younger version of the cop who becomes a chef, or what? How much of this are we gonna? How many origins are we gonna get here?
I mean, it was Fast and Furious as a rumor for a while.
Well, probably because they saw him on the set.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's
glad that's all settled.
But this all started because Justin tweeted a thing complaining about movies using the word legacy in the title or origins.
How many have used legacy besides Bourne Legacy?
That's the Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy. Oh,
okay. And I like both of those films. And they both properly use the word legacy. Mm-hmm. This one is a prequel using the word legacy, so it clearly doesn't understand what the word legacy is.
Yeah, that's
suggesting that this has been a legacy for a while, and that, in fact, Jason Statham is part of a legacy.
But this is still Statham's character. Like,
yeah, but I
would understand legacy if, much like Bourne, it was like a new guy took up the Transporter mantle.
But what if this is us finding out that he's a new guy who took over from some other guy?
But it's a
prequel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Everyone starts somewhere.
Oh, for God's
and
sake.
It's Steve McQueen. So, he took over from Steve McQueen.
Is Casino Royale
about the director.
The start of MI6? No, it's just the start of James Bond. You could call that MI6 Legacy, and it would be accurate still. Suck it.
MI6 Legacy?
Community.
Don't care whether logic or flogic. I kind of like where Benson's going with this.
I'm saying that it wouldn't be a good title, but it would be technically accurate.
So, but then, why not call this Transporter Origins?
Because that's dumb.
But it's a prequel. That's what we expect.
So, they're not doing what you expect.
Because Dracula...
Hey, it's a prequel. Legacy.
Dracula Untold was originally Dracula Origins, but also it could have been Dracula Legacy, because we find out from that trailer that he's not the first...
That's
vampire.
What I'm saying. This could be the situation in Transporter Legacy.
I just think it's a matter of the fact that Origins, in general, as a title for things, has been like as a subtitle for things, has just like been done to death by this point. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I can understand why Dracula would change it, like going, you know, maybe calling it Origins isn't the best idea here, guys. You know, just saying, just saying.
It's true.
Anyway,
so that's that. What's our final? News note.
What else is new?
Lionsgate has hired Matt Benson to make the MI6. No.
MI6
Legacy. Whoa.
Wait. That's news shop. Did you say there Lionsgate? I thought it's
reason.
MGM.
Nope.
No, that reason I was leading.
He said Ryansgate.
This is a.
Ryansgate.
This is a never say never situation. It's a separate Bond franchise.
I was just in a what if?
Am I not coming out on the mic here? Can they hear any of the things I'm saying?
I've never heard
Andrew needs to get it together. There's a video
playing on my computer. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening right now.
My voice is coming through.
Oh, my God.
I'm seeing a lot of waves now. It seems like I am.
Yeah, like a tsunami of Benson.
I think the ad playing on my computer caused the sound to go out for a minute, and that is annoying.
So, for the podcast, is totally? Or just for us?
Are we, no, just for the listener for a half a second. It's fine.
And that has been Guess the Ending.
It's time to end the guessing.
So congratulations, Benson, for being chosen by Lionsgate, owners of the
Ryan's
Bond franchise.
Yeah. Well,
Ryansgate, get it right.
Of the Rond prize.
Words are wrong.
Connery's going to play Bond again.
are we going to have a Doug Benson-style argument over that? Because Doug Benson fought with Matt Myers, or one of the Matts about that.
Yeah. What was the nature of the fight?
Well, he thought that Sean Connery film was definitely like a Bond film.
Ooh. I would consider that a Bond film.
And whatever one he was talking to, it was probably
Myra.
Was
that Sam Levine?
Yeah.
I thought it was Sam Levine. I recently heard that.
No, it was either Matt Myra or Matt Gourley, one of the hosts.
It's not part
of
the official stories, but it's definitely a
but
Bond
that,
film.
That Matt did not think that it was a Bond film. They did not consider it.
I disagree with that.
Any part and
that
and,
Matt disagrees
and that was
with it.
Doug Benson, your cousin.
Yeah, well, this is I'm
said
torn,
it very clearly.
Do I agree with a fellow Matt, or do I agree with a fellow Benson? This is very tricky for me.
Basically, he said it is Sean Connery.
Yeah, playing a character named James Bond.
But
007.
But then the other side of the argument was that it's a remake of his own film. Like it was like a dumb. Anyway,
that's so is the new Star Trek not a Star Trek film?
No. Actually, the second one isn't, because that's a remake of the second one, and that's dumb.
So is Rise of the Planet of the Apes not a Planet of the Apes film, because that's a remake of the fourth film?
Kind of.
And do you hate that?
Actually, I don't know.
Exactly.
I kind of love it.
Socrates, I just did that to you.
Damn.
Take a philosophy class, you'll get it.
Plato!
Aristotle. Big.
We still have one more news note, and I don't even want to talk about it.
It's a sad one. I'm trying to delay the sad news.
It's not even news, guys.
I mean, yeah, but it's still sad.
What is the sad news?
It's like, hey, remember the sad thing that happened? It's still sad. Is the news
the end of a giant and beautiful filmmaking? And by film, I mean film.
Okay, so George,
apologize on Gillespie's behalf to the Asian community.
I didn't do it on purpose. I just can't speak sometimes.
Jordan put this news note in, but since then there has been an update. Studio Ghibli has said that they're going to stop making films, and then there was another announcement that came out said, oh, there was a translation issue. They're just taking a break.
We're making all the films.
I didn't
hear about this translation issue.
Well, this is what they're saying, and there's a translation issue. But I had read, there was another article that I read that came out before this whole correction where like the article writer was like very bitter about the whole Ghibli thing, and so they said, oh, they'll just be managing their copyrights, and then they said, you know, making money for doing nothing, like essentially. And I was like, why are you so angry at Studio Ghibli? Like, they still like, and I think
if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do.
Also, right. I might be wrong. I think they still have some things that haven't quite made it into like an American release.
Are you talking about Ni No Kuni 2? Because that would be great.
No, I mean like.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did what was that? My Neighbor the Yamadas.
My Neighbor's. Did that get an American release? There's been an American release of My Neighbor the Yamadas.
Okay. Well, but there's also at the Studio Ghibli Museum or whatever it's called. There's a short film that's like a follow up to Totoro, and that's never been shown outside the museum.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So they have stuff that they could put out, and we'd eat it up because we're crazy and we love their animation style.
Yes, we do.
And then they have one final film coming that I don't remember the name of, and this article is very hard to read.
But you said that was a translation error. They're not. They're just taking a
break. Yeah, they're taking a break because it's also a thing where Miyazaki said he was going to stop after The Wind Rises, but he's probably going to come back. Who knows?
Well,
I say until a person is dead. They're not done.
Yeah,
so that's why Sean Connery and Gene Hackman still have a chance to make one final film.
Retired like 5 years ago. He's
retired
still going.
Seven times.
Kevin Smith said he retired. He's still going. No one retires.
Well,
Chris Evans is coming back.
I never retire.
You scared me for a second there because like I was worried that was it. That was a done deal.
I thought it was done too because a friend of the and sometimes member of the show, Tom Willett, posted a thing about it being a done deal.
Oh yeah, because I'm willing to accept that Miyazaki can say, okay, I've had a great career and I'm ready to be done. And I was gonna be like, okay, you know, you've bowed out gracefully. Like I still honestly, you guys, I still haven't seen The Wind Rises, but I really, really want to because I love Miyazaki's work, and I think that's going to be a lot. I think from everything I've seen, it looks like it's going to be a great film.
Yeah. Made America, you want to see a perspective of a Japanese man?
I told you about this before.
I saw Grave of the Fireflies. I don't know if anything can hit me harder than that, but
this one starts out kind
of
happy and
more
nice,
than
and then like halfway.
Though?
I haven't seen Grave of the Fireflies, but this one's real personal. It's like a Holocaust or some shit, right?
Nuclear.
Yeah.
It's Japan like during and was it like post?
It was like I know of it. I haven't actually seen it.
I don't think it actually happens during the nuclear.
I believe it's like it's post nuclear though.
Maybe because it takes a while for Japan to actually surrender. That's news to the main character during the movie. I remember like it's near
a
the
bummer
end.
Either way, this film.
Yeah,
this,
no, it's
I'm
a bummer.
Going
yeah,
say this is a,
beautiful
this
movie,
a bummer.
Just sad as hell. So. Mm.
I have a name on this one last Ghibli film, supposedly. It's called When Marnie Was There.
When Marnie Was There?
Yeah, it came out in Japan July 19th.
Oh.
So if Disney ever picks that up, that's when it's going to happen, I guess, eventually. Because, you know, Disney does the Ghibli releases.
Yeah. Right, that's true.
That's news of a kind.
Hmm.
It was a slow news week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we're done with the news.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we need to go into the box office top 10.
Aw, yeah. Count me down.
Oh, is Benson ready?
Oh, nope.
Where do you think it's located at, the box office? We don't have actually found it.
You know, we should look. Do you want a history of the term box office? There was a reason why it was called a box office.
Yeah, okay. Just
it was,
stall for Benson.
You know, there was an office where they would take the ticket stubs.
Right.
And they put them in boxes.
Thanks for stalling.
In this office. All right. I am number 10.
A Man Most Wanted.
Hey, what number 9?
And so it goes.
Let's watch number 8.
I should have said Ed Kurt Vonnegut loves number 9. Sorry.
You got to think about these. Sex Tape.
Is What Happens When You Number 7.
The Purge Anarchy.
This is not a great film starring John Candy and Steve Martin. It's number 6.
Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
The horrors of number 5.
Rise of the Dawn, of the Sunset, of the Planet, of the Apes.
Is against number 4.
Hercules, or Hercules, if you want.
It took me so long to figure out that Hercule in Dragon Ball Z. His name was Hercules, basically. I have no bit for number 3.
Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
But you can skip number 2.
Lucy.
She is not a number one.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
In a way, she is. She's kind
in a way,
of
she is
internet.
Just the galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just saying.
How did they resist not using that song in Lucy?
Not having money for it is what I'm
saying. I think Luc Besson, just maybe he doesn't know American music, so he just...
American music? Lucy,
yeah.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the great American song. Yeah.
You know, in America in the 60s. And everyone who was born in the 60s is now 60.
It's also really difficult to get Beatles music.
That's what yeah. I was saying.
True, I actually don't think it is. At this,
who,
oh wait, you know what? At this time, who owns it? Because Michael Jackson used to own
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was about to ask the same
thing.
Well,
he didn't own all of it.
He owned enough.
Paul McCartney hung on to a chunk.
It's Tito now.
It's gone to Tito. It's gone to the... It's
gone to Blanket.
I wish I could remember his name. It's
Blanket.
Gone to the doctor that killed him.
Oh no!
Michael Jackson had a thing
Kevorkian.
In his contract. He honors war law, where if you kill
much
him,
like Ron Swanson,
you kill him, you get all his possessions.
Ron Swanson has a piece of paper in his pocket that's the one who murders me will know what it means.
Yeah.
Are you talking to someone out the window there?
Idiot trying to parallel park and like, there's two spots open. They can't even park into one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's talk about the numbers. We're up. About 40 million.
Ah.
And that's just the Guardians, I'm sure, because they opened at $94 million.
So that's record? Highest?
Highest
no.
opening in August was what Chris Pratt's Twitter said.
See, Pratt?
Pratt.
Pratt.
The Pratt knows where it's at.
It's true.
Why? How did he not get the Prattler? I think that's... that's better than Pratt.
Oh,
Pratt.
Is that something you want to be known as?
Anyway,
Prattented News.
That is a terrible, like, WWF name, maybe?
We're going to review Guardians of the Galaxy, so we'll refrain from speaking on its quality here. But it is the 10th Marvel film, last I read.
Yes. Let's go through the list. Let's count them down.
Well, I mean,
count me down,
are
Andrew.
We going to include...
count me down,
are we including
Andrew.
The...
Number one.
The Incredible... Or
Iron
Ang Lee's
Man.
Hulk?
Number
no.
two.
Okay.
No.
Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Number three, Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Number four, Thor.
Hey.
Thor.
Number
Thor.
Five,
Cap.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yep.
Number six, Marvel Presents the Avengers.
Marvel Presents Captain America's The Avengers.
Number seven,
Iron Man
3. Number eight,
Thor 2.
The Dark World.
Or Thor Dark World.
Right.
Number nine, Captain America,
Soldier.
The Winter Soldier, and number 10,
ding, ding,
Guardians
ding, ding.
Of the Galaxy.
Yes. So it's amazing that 10,
yeah,
10 movies in, technically.
Are we going to turn some lights on at any point?
They finally got it
behind Matt. He can reach it, I
it
think.
Is, we,
the sun
the
has
sun
set.
Was out
I've got
started.
It, guys.
There
you
it
go.
No longer.
Now? I can't.
We're in a dark room.
Because you're afraid I'll break this chair.
Because
yeah.
we're nerds.
We're like the kid in Boyhood.
10 movies in, they're making 94 mil.
Yeah.
And I mean, Iron Man 3 opened huge.
Yeah.
I don't remember those numbers.
Took them a while, amateurs.
I mean, I think all of their movies are opening pretty big now.
Yeah.
Well, so people are starting to recognize that Marvel is basically doing it right. Like,
yeah.
When you think about it, each time a movie hits, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm still getting all caught up. But now that I am, I'm realizing every movie I see is just more fun than the last one to a degree.
I think I read, what's his name? Kevin Feige?
Yes.
Feige?
Feige.
He should partner up with the yogurt people.
I read a thing in an interview where he said they're becoming like a Pixar, like they're becoming like a brand that people trust.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, I want to see that Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Like it's like a thing. So I imagine that it really irks him that he still doesn't have Spider-Man or the X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because as Tom put on Facebook, he's like, oh, that was my least favorite Marvel movie this year. X-Men Generations, he calls it.
Yeah. It's technically a Marvel movie.
Technically.
It's a Marvel comic book, but
yeah.
not a Marvel Pictures.
Which is probably...
Well, it's not Marvel Studios, but
Marvel
it is,
Studios,
there are Marvel characters. This is back into that whole James Bond debate. It's as much a Marvel movie as Never Say Never or Never Say Never Again, depending on where you fall.
And I think...
It's a James
it's
Bond
again.
Movie.
I think that... Like, the first... I think it was like the first teaser trailer of Guardians had Guardians of the Galaxy and then right above it, big Marvel.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people would have understood that this is in that same universe had they not had Marvel so huge over it.
Yeah.
If it was just a little tiny Marvel, you know.
Marvel.
And it's,
little group.
I wish
little
I could remember some review pointed this out. Maybe it was Tom, maybe not. Some review pointed this out. that it's weird. In the movie, it starts with a cold open scene, and then interrupts the movie for the Marvel logo. Like that. Think of how weird that is.
Imagine
watching a movie where it's like there's a scene, and then by the way, now here's the Universal logo. Like that would be weird as hell. But that's how they did it here because it's.
Don't they do that in Mission Impossible or something?
I don't think that's
true. Mission Impossible. Yeah, they interrupt it like that.
Kind of.
Where the whatever candle dynamite stick explode thing. You know what I'm talking about, people?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like James Bond.
But you know the universal thing of the Earth. Like, if that happened in the middle of the scene and then that. Or if a scene and then the 20th Century Fox logo.
I'm just showing it off.
I'm just saying it that shows how they're making effort at branding this a Marvel Studios film.
Okay, no. We're done? Okay.
You missed your chance.
I'm sorry.
It's over. Dun, 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 why don't we talk about some of these other movies, though, while we're at it?
Yeah, this is the first weekend for Get On Up, and it's opening third with only $14 million.
It probably didn't cost that much to make.
Who's playing James Brown in this movie?
Chadwick Boseman.
Why do I know that name?
Because Jackie he was Robinson. In 42 as Jackie Brown. He was ninth billed, according to Leonard Maltin.
Wait, what do you say?
Not Jackie Brown.
You just called him Jackie Brown.
You called him Jackie Brown.
You just called him Jackie Brown.
Andrew, you just called him Jackie Brown.
No, you did. I heard you say it.
Andrew, you just said he was
I said Jackie Robinson.
42.
Jackie Robinson.
Who he played in 42. You just said.
Here's my problem. I don't know music or baseball.
Wait till we play it back.
I don't know baseball either, but I know the Jackie
Or Tarantino
Brown.
Films.
It's a Quentin Tarantino film, not a baseball player.
Anyway.
Racist.
Chadwick Boseman is just going to play notable black people.
I'm so glad she life. Broke the color barrier. That's the first woman and African woman.
To star in a Quentin Tarantino film?
No, in baseball.
Okay. The character
Jackie Brown,
the fictional character.
Yes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Was also, she in a league of their own?
No, Kevin Bacon will have an appearance in this. He'll have a cameo.
In what?
In this universe that we've created.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is this a British fella with a name like Chadwick?
I don't think so.
You say that like Chadwick is not a super British name.
Sounds Australian to me.
It's not American for sure.
Says the man who doesn't love pageants.
Have we taken a look at this guy's papers? Do we know what his status is?
By pageants, I meant parades! I feel like there's some pageantry.
But if you do want to talk more about Chadwick Boseman, I read a rumor where he's one of the two in the running for Black Panther in the Marvel films.
Oh.
It's him and John Boyega.
Ooh,
which,
like
of course, you know,
better.
I'd rather have John Boyega.
Boyega!
Are we agreed in this room? John Boyega, better?
Boyega.
Yeah,
we're the Boyega boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll roll. I'll roll with it.
Have you seen Attack the Block?
Oh, is that who we're talking about? Okay, yeah, hands down. God, I love it.
Come on, Andrew. You should have said, have you seen DeBrick? That's the one everyone
That's
knows.
All you had to say. Sure. Have you seen Attack the Block? I'm sold. You got me.
What else is on this top 10 bullshit.
Can we talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes real quick at number 5?
No, that's Rise of the Dawn. I don't believe you.
Rise of the Dawn of the Sunset?
Yeah.
Riders on the Storm of the Bride of the Riders Monster?
Ooh, I'd watch Bride of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
is this a living planet situation?
Son of the
Is that a King Kong?
Either way, I would go for it.
What about Son of the Planet of the Apes?
Or just an entire... the third film's only about Cornelia.
I want a Maurice spinoff. That's what I want.
I do, too.
When do we get... I'm still waiting for Dr. Zaius. I'll be happy
when we get Dr. Zaius. Can you play the piano anymore?
Do you think that's...
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
I'm surprised that... I know it's a month old now, but Transformers is not at least number 10.
No, because people have taste. So,
Yeah.
So, but that's why Apes is still here, and it's higher than things that opened... sooner.
Yeah, to me that's pretty impressive and says a lot about the movie, which I still haven't seen, to be completely honest.
It's mostly good.
I gotta get caught up.
What, Transformers?
No, not Transformers.
I was like, until T.J. Miller dies, Transformers is great.
Apes is great until T.J. Miller dies.
Which ape is he?
He gets killed by the ape with the freezing powers. So... Are those? That's a different movie? Hold on.
Nope, same one.
So, okay, so then, and then we got Planes, Fire, and Rescue. People saw that movie?
I will say this. I saw this trailer in the theater. And a friend of mine. We both turned to each other at the same moment and said, okay, that joke did get me. There's one joke that me and an associate both enjoyed, much to both of our surprise.
So basically you're saying you saw what? The best part of
hold
the
movie. Hold on, tell me the joke.
Is this associate Schmatchminton?
No. The joke was a car, because there are also cars.
Right. Yeah, this is a spin-off of the car.
Cars is always around. The tagline. It's not all planes.
From above the world of cars, yeah. Planes.
He's in a bar. He's very upset. And he says, my wife left me for a hybrid. I never even heard him coming. That's fantastic. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Whoever wrote that joke was not on the scripting team for Cars 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Because that joke's better than the entirety of Cars 1 and 2.
I agree.
I never heard him coming.
Okay, yeah. So now you don't have to see the movie. They did the best part in the trailer, yeah. So you're good.
They did
Benson.
The one good joke.
And it wasn't even a plane-related thing. It was car-related.
Yeah. That's just a good joke on its own.
That's insane.
Man.
What?
Yeah.
So that was the joke that they tried. They were like, parents, come on.
Yeah.
Sexy time, but they don't know it's coming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it wasn't like...
Well, no,
the implications of that are terrible.
The Jordan box office top 10 theory is that because there are no other animated films out, this is the animated film that families are seeing.
Right, okay.
So until another... So TMNT will knock it out this weekend.
Oh, for sure.
Although I feel like there were some families that were late to, like, a Guardians screening, and then were like, oh, I was just taking the planes instead. You know, because children cry a lot. Mm-hmm. Usually when I go to you, Andrew, you cry
a lot. I always
lot.
Kick my seats. There was a seat kicker.
Ooh, I got kicked. When we saw Guardians, I got kicked. I didn't like it.
Maybe it was the same person just kicking both our seats.
Also, the crowd when I went on Thursday night, great crowd. When I went with you Sunday morning,
yeah.
They were lame.
I had a good crowd when I saw it. They were really into it. People were singing along. People were singing along when all the classic tunes came on. It was great. And not badly either. Like people were just having fun.
Okay, I didn't have singers. That would have pissed me off.
Do you guys have a crowd that stands out in your mind as the best movie crowd you've ever seen a movie with?
What could you define that? Because I wouldn't call them the best crowd, but the most memorable and for me kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
Was
when I saw Inception.
Nice.
Because at the end, literally half or more than half the audience went. Like they were just like so disappointed and like distraught by like not getting a very nice wrapped up with a bow on top ending.
Yeah.
So like I thought they were dumb, but then also I thought like, all right, that was good. I'm glad I was in a packed theater for this.
Yeah, mine was Scott Pilgrim, Midnight Show.
Oh yeah,
that was a great crowd.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I that might be a close to mine too because that was people. Oh, that was fun.
They cheered. The Ramona Flowers cosplayers.
Ooh.
They booed during the trailers when M. Night Shyamalan's name came up for Devil.
For Devil.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great experience.
I have a story. I think I told that story about, like, people were actually kind of tense when the trailer started, and as soon as his name hit the screen, the whole room burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And all credibility was lost, especially when it started to roll the credits, and several people just went, what a twist!
I want to give an honorable mention, by the way, to the Avengers Midnight crowd who cheered. When Gwyneth Paltrow turned around and we saw her ass.
Didn't you go with like for the 8 film screening or however many it was at that
we
time?
We determined that earlier.
Yeah.
I did, yes.
So of course they were going to cheer.
You went, okay.
They cheered for Gwyneth Paltrow's ass. I felt dirty.
You were there cheering as well.
I did not
and you
cheer.
Didn't.
At that Avengers
I appreciated it. But I didn't,
silently.
But I didn't cheer. I appreciated it silently like a gentleman. Okay.
There's many, many clapping on going on inside you. Just
Matt,
little applause.
Were you there with me for that Lincoln when we went? We saw Lincoln together, right?
We saw Lincoln together.
And there was the lady who, when it was revealed that Tommy Lee Jones was with a black woman, she went wait. Or when?
No, that J. Edgar. It was J. Edgar.
What? No.
When they found out,
but there was a lady who was like, "Oh no, you didn't." Like there was a lady who said something amazing
when
there was a reveal.
Out.
It was some reveal, and she said something like that, and it was amazing. It was a great moment.
At my Guardian screening, the same thing that happened when we saw the Cornetto, and I think the same thing that happened to you at the, was it the Marvel?
Okay. At the Marvel, there was a 40-minute midnight hit, and they did not start the movie until 12:40 due to technical difficulties.
Yep, technical difficulties. The movie was playing, but there was no sound.
Yeah.
Dang.
At the Marvel, they just straight up, nothing was on.
Someone was like really pissed within 5 minutes and just walked out and fixed the problem.
Yeah.
There was by them.
Actually, I just wrote, you saying Cornetto sparked something in my mind. I think the best crowd I've ever seen a movie with was seeing Shaun of the Dead during the Long Beach Zombie Walk.
Ooh. Nice.
Because the whole room was full of zombies.
That's awesome.
And that made it all the more satisfying, especially when they were in character. Whenever someone got brained with a cricket bat, they all went, in disgust.
That's pretty great.
All right, so... if you don't want to go to a movie theater and see any of these films...
Idiots.
We're going to tell you about some new releases.
Well, there's some films I wouldn't blame you if you didn't want to go see, but you know.
Yeah. So we're going to give you some alternatives for your home. For your home time watch viewing. First up on DVD and Blu-ray, our lone title here, Need for Speed.
Which Need
for Is this Speed? Most Wanted? This Hot is, Pursuit? Which one is this?
This is Need for Speed, Bitch. That's the version that this one is.
Bitch. Speed, bitch.
There you go. You got it.
A little New York on there.
And I threw it on the ground.
This is Mr. White. I have a need for speed.
I'm going to throw this out to Lil Espy. I think he's going to be the most receptive here. Do you have a need?
A need for speed?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Aaron Paul vehicle. Pun intended. Moving on to our DVD only.
He knows how puns work.
Our first on the DVD only. And I think Disney should sue this movie. It's called The Big Goofy Secret of Hidden Pines. And from if you look at the DVD cover image, it has a logo which I believe means that it's a Christian film.
Family approved with some sort of weird dove.
Yeah. And this film is actually about a baby Bigfoot.
Okay.
But they called it a goofy secret for some reason. Well, it's a baby Bigfoot that grows up. As you can also see this image.
Is that also the guy in the cover? He looks like baby Johnny Depp.
I wouldn't call him that.
No.
I would call him baby Mike the Situation.
Okay. I've never seen this man, but yeah.
This is the kind of movie you would look at and be like, they're on a collision course with wackiness.
Yeah, I think wackiness is in the description.
Is this bushwhacked?
Oh, they say slapstick meets screwball.
Here we go. Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And of course, baby Bigfoot grows up to be an incorrigible prankster.
Sure he does. Of course. Mm-hmm. He's finally getting revenge for those Jacqueline commercials.
So is this a prequel to Harry and the Hendersons?
Oh.
No, that was Little Bigfoot. Starring my neighbor, Michael Fishman.
Really?
Yes.
That's scary. Okay, so... Yeah, Disney, get on that. Start suing these people because this is they're clearly trying to get people to buy this because the name Goofy's in it.
And we already yeah. I don't know how many people
you know what
are
no
be confused about this being I'm another gonna, Goofy movie, but you know
I'm gonna take a stance in favor of that movie. Goofy is a word, and I don't think Disney owns that word. Goofy is a fun word,
but if they would,
I myself am a fan of referring to jokes as goofs. And I don't think Disney has a monopoly on the word goofy.
But Benson, you know that if they would, they could, right? Disney would put a copyright on the word goofy.
Yeah, Disney is kind of evil.
Yes.
There's a kind of evil I can accept, like Google.
Well, I mean, yeah, because Avengers yeah, was exactly. awesome, and Guardians of the Galaxy, spoiler alarm to my portion of the review, was awesome.
Yeah.
So I can accept their evil, but, you know, it doesn't make them not evil.
All right, next up on DVD only. This isn't what you think it is.
Okay.
Any which way that you slice it, I'm gonna say it's not what you think it is. It's called A Bush Christmas.
Okay, let's go around the table. What do we think it is?
And Matt, you may have seen on my screen what it was. So
I did, but I didn't process.
Okay, good.
Lil Espy, what do you think it
Before
is?
Before I clicked on it, a terrible pornography title.
There okay. we go, David.
I assumed either it took place maybe in the outback, you know, the bush.
Okay.
We're not gonna say any correct or not, or did you have a second guess?
That already had to
no,
do
he
with...
said either. He said
oh,
either.
Oh, okay. That or it's the Bush family.
That's where know, I went. I famous, assumed it was the Bush family.
The famous ones.
Well, yeah. David what was are they, correct. The Waltons? This is
oh, it is in the Australian Outback.
It is Australian.
Oh.
And in fact, they're pushing this movie. They're selling it. Nicole Kidman's name is at the top. Okay. She's in it, and they want everyone to know.
What is
probably
her involved?
In it for
she's
all
in
of,
it.
Like 30 seconds.
But no.
And they also have a second title for it, The Christmas Stallion.
Underneath her name, it says in
Stallion.
Yeah.
It says in her first starring role.
Is this before BMX Bandits?
Apparently.
Hold on.
That's how they're selling
this
thing.
We gotta get a Kidman timeline right now.
IMDb that real quick.
Because BMX Bandits is streaming on Netflix,
let me
and I keep
read,
meaning to watch it.
Me too.
Let me read the one Amazon review. It says, This is a great film as it beats the Origio now and great music from the Bushwhackers band. I don't know who that is.
Oh, they're involved. They did that one song that I
you know,
can't really remember.
I thought they were talking about Luke and
yeah,
Butch.
Yeah.
The wrestling tag team.
So this is a down on the luck family. Their only hope for a merry Christmas is Prince, a talented horse with potential to win the payout
when
at the New Year's race.
There's the artist formerly known as.
Yeah, because I would assume he had some. He would have tried to get involved if he was famous.
I'm not seeing a year.
Yeah.
It's 83 is the year I have it here.
He'll bring purple rain to the famished land.
Purple rain.
But anyway, this
is this based on some kind of classic story? Because the IMDb tagline that I have is. The much-loved Australian story of an epic family and a Christmas adventure that they would never forget.
I love if this was like a weird. Yeah, this sounds exactly like a weird
Some
thing
weird
that Australians
Australian
this is
talk
Saint
to
Nick?
Each other about.
You know,
then my horse Prince. Nope, done. I'm out.
Then my horse Prince.
And then my horse Prince.
But they want to have a happy Christmas, so they're gonna win the New Year's race. So Christmas is already done. When they're racing.
Hey, they could choose to celebrate Christmas whatever they want because it's basically summer there.
No, listen. They're presumably a fierce Catholic family, and they celebrate Christmas from the 25th all the way to the Epiphany on January 6th.
Yeah. All 12 days of it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, you know what's interesting is I have a friend who is from or is in Australia, and it always blows my mind when I talk about it. So what do you usually do for Christmas? And they're like, well, it's usually really stupid hot out, so we have barbecues and drink white wine. And I'm like, this sounds great.
Oh, I've got another alternate title.
Oh, please.
Prince and the Great Race. And I'm looking at a pretty fantastic cover. It's got two Australian kids. One is looking at the ground through a telescope. He's got a telescope pointed down.
Take that, Hidalgo.
I, of course, went to Wikipedia to find my information here.
Is that supposed to be Nicole Kidman, do you think?
Perhaps. This was 83. Who can say?
Did she look like an entirely different person in 83?
I mean, maybe she was a
child. That was right before she met Tom Cruise.
Oh, it's
a remake.
1947 Australian film of the same name, which is maybe that's there. It's there. It's a Wonderful Life. It's the original of the Bush Christmas. Or maybe this is like a Miracle on 34th Street.
That makes more sense. There you go.
The American equivalent.
This is the miracle of racehorsing. Horse racing. Racehorsing.
Race-horsing.
You want to go bet on some racehorsing, Andrew?
Apparently, one of the goofs was she was walking down the street with her dog, and in the previous scene, there was no dog with her.
This is why people love this movie, Magic Dogs.
Yeah.
Magic Dogs.
Okay, new on Blu-ray.
Okay.
I believe Benson will enjoy this.
Here we go.
The Man Who Knew Too Little. Never been on Blu-ray.
How much did he know?
Well, not enough.
Not enough.
How little is too little?
Well, you can watch the film and find out.
Do you have the need?
For speed?
Yes.
And then a final new on Blu-ray, Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, I like that as well.
That's
very fantastic film.
That's very interesting. When I was on my way here today, I was listening to Random Access Memories, and there's, you know, the song Touch, which is... why does his name completely escape me?
Paul Williams.
Yeah, thank you. I totally brain farted. Yeah, Paul Williams, you know, did that one, and I'm like, oh yeah, Phantom of the Paradise. So when I saw that, I'm like, that's funny because I was actually like on shuffle, and like that came up right as I was like pulling in. So
it's a great film.
It is.
I believe it would have been our pick of the week, but we still got TV to get to.
Uh oh.
On TV, we have Californication, the final season.
Another fun fact. One of my best friends was...
Is David Duchovny.
Look, Benson's head would just explode right now.
I wish.
I'm not going to lie. Because, as you know, all Davids know each other.
That's true.
Yes, of course. You know, it's a secret society. It's a not so secret. It's like one of those, you know, badly... It's like one of those, you know, secrets. It's not really a secret, but...
My middle name is David.
What?
My middle name is David.
Is it really?
Yeah. And we know each other.
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah.
But, and my name is Matt, and we know each other.
Yeah.
My name's Andrew, and I don't know anybody.
Happy birthday,
by the way. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
So anyways, Californication.
One of my best friends was actually got to do extra work for Californication, specifically the episode that had Tim mention. As a guest appearance, because she's a huge fan of his, and you can actually see her if you watch that episode.
Is she dressed up as a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I already made that reference a while ago. You'll find if you go back and listen to the tapes.
We'll review the tapes later.
I did a little more subtly.
What was yours? I'm sorry.
Was it Awesome Mix Volume 3 or
Glendale? Under it. A joint reference to John Daly and the Peps.
And the Peppermint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's the real.
That's cool.
Something relevant to me about a show that I haven't actually watched.
I watched the first season.
I only put it here. I've watched one episode. I only put it here because it's the final season. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's done.
Wow.
I thought it was still going.
That started, like 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, it's been going. And then
he's been fornicating on the list that these guys have been waiting for.
And this will be our pick of the week.
Because they're biased.
Community, the complete season.
Thank God. Thank God it doesn't say the final season.
The fifth season. The complete fifth season.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Keyword, they're underlined that like 3 times. Yeah.
So we, in our description on the internet, we will have a link to buy this from Amazon. And if you buy it there, you will support the show. And we'll thank you. You know, you should listen to Shut Up Leonard, where we talk about Community.
Yeah.
I did my best. What'd I underlined it at once.
Oh, you underlined it? Oh, good. Is where we talk about...
underlined complete, not fifth.
He said underline complete. That was the most important word.
Underline complete.
Davids are smart.
Fifth is the most important word because it's not final.
He knows about the secret society. You all know about the secret society now, so you know my word is now, like,
Bond.
Significantly more
James
important.
Bond.
007.
This is where we talk about local video stores, if anyone would tell us about them, but we don't know about them. So, what are local video stores?
They got newspaper on the outside of them. Homeless people sleep on the doorsteps of those. And soon they will be, an adult DVD store.
Today in my travels, I passed by a place that used to be a local video store, and it's now empty. And it hasn't even been... It's been a while.
It's been a while.
And it hasn't even been replaced by...
He knew I was going to do it.
There's been a sign up saying it's going to be a phone store, and that hasn't happened.
Or a phone store.
But
it's going to be a Metro PCS.
The Blockbuster that used to be near my work that was torn down, it's now some kind of insurance agency. It's terrifying. I hate
Lincoln it. Video. Lincoln called... in Cypress, California. It's the only local video store I know that still exists.
There's one near here called, like, Broadway Video.
Broadway, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's one close to me that's Movie Town.
Oh, and there's a liquor store that has a video store in it.
There's a...
7-Eleven? They do that now.
There's a Jungle Video near me.
What is the jungle aspect of it?
I've never actually been in it. I've just passed it many times, and I'm surprised it's still there.
I'm very curious.
I was doing
it's got, like, a kangaroo. For its
sure.
logo, and it's
well-known
a
well-known jungle animal kangaroo.
Always.
And the thing is, the text is all like delves off in like pixels, so it's like maybe implying that it also maybe did, you know, old. It was set up when old video games were still kind of a thing.
This reminds me of our bits and pieces sign.
Welcome
for that
to
store.
The jungle. We've got movies and games.
There it is.
We've got everything you want, honey.
Well,
we know the names.
We've got VHS and Laserdisc.
You should write their jingle.
We have.
If you've got the money, honey, we've got DVDs.
And we have Super Nintendo games.
I think we stepped into an episode of Full House with Uncle Jesse over here.
Oh,
writing jingles.
Because I'm a rebel?
Oh.
You'll remember that in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm looking at the Jungle Videos Yelp page.
Oh, you found it.
Yelp will let you zoom in on photos? What a rip.
Oh, on the app? Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, it's time to get to our review.
All right. I've been waiting for this.
come from Earth, a planet of outlaws. My name is Peter Quill. There's one other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw.
Guys? Forget it.
So here we are. A thief, two thugs, an assassin, and a maniac. But we're not gonna stand by as evil wipes out the galaxy. I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of these criminals?
Oh. Yeah.
Right. So,
there was a guy on IMDb that he gave Guardians like one star because everyone else was given a 10. That's probably Tom.
I think we all, for some reason, we all expected Andrew to talk at that moment, and he was writing something down.
That's fine.
Tom doesn't like trees, but I got that.
Is that what he complained about?
Well, Tom said that he said, I believe exactly, I'm going to paraphrase here. He said something like, fuck you, Marvel. Lord of the Rings has better talking trees than you ever will.
Is he just mad because the tree only said the same thing?
Well, spoiler alert.
Is he just mad because the tree was a more interesting character?
Well, say
there
the
you
same
go.
Suck it, Ants.
Yeah, let's start talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm gonna enemies.
Tell me about Tom Bombadil.
Let's.
Oh, do not get me
Tom
started
Bombadil,
on Tom
Bombadil.
Do we want to have a spoiler section, or do we want to go spoiler all the way?
Let's go spoiler all.
Spoiler
the way.
All okay. the way.
Is that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Beginning now. You're getting spoilers.
Dun, dun,
dun.
I like that a lot.
Howard
the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah, let's just all start saying Howard the Duck.
Let's just get it off.
Let's go with the end first.
Right now.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
The Collector.
Oh, please.
Thanos.
Can he be in Avengers 3?
I just want another Howard the Duck film.
You know what's...
I don't know. I want another Howard the Duck something.
You know what's funny is I spotted Howard before they revealed him, though.
Yeah.
I see him in the background, and that's a fun little cameo. Because
I watched it twice, and I spotted him the second time.
Yeah, it was funny because I was sitting there, and I got nudged by first neck, like, look, there's Howard the Duck. I'm like, what?
What is Howard the Duck?
I'm like, where? But then by that point, it blurred out. But she was very adamant. She was like,
wait a minute, would you say it was a duck blur? Yes. That is my proudest reference I've ever made. I am so happy with that. What percentage of the audience would you say knows what
good
I'm talking
one.
About right
good
now?
Good one. Okay,
took
yeah.
me a second, but I got it. I'm there.
But no, it was worth it. I'm like, yeah, that is Howard the Duck.
Yeah, which you know, I'm going to say I knew that going in, that Howard the Duck was going to be there.
Did you know...
fucking dumb people on Facebook. I'm not going to say names, but thanks, person.
Well, someone we know told us in person. That wasn't on Facebook.
No, but I think in person is fine, because you can look at the person and you can say, I think they want to know a spoiler. And
friend of the show, Derek Armijo, did absolutely not do that.
I don't know.
He just said, without even looking at us, hey, Howard the Duck is in this movie.
But also, he said Marvel was going to talk about Daredevil at the TV panel, sure. So he clearly didn't know what he was talking
That's
about.
That's my duck sound right there.
Truth is hidden in two lies? What am I saying?
I'm gonna go as far as saying the person who put the picture of Howard the Duck on Facebook was a friend that you and I have together.
I know who you're talking about.
And I don't want to say names, but I was like, well, fuck you.
Not a very interesting theory on spoilers, then.
Yeah, it was just like, I'm not going to say the name, but here's a picture.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. But yeah, no, it was cool. I have to give my girlfriend credit. She has a keen eye, because she spotted Eminem, and I was like, oh no, you're totally right. That's a fun little cameo, but I wasn't expecting him to just show up at the end like that. Although when they did show the Collector, mm-hmm. I was like, ah, here he comes, here it comes, boom, Howard the Duck.
Yeah, that was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was voiced by Seth Green.
Oh, he was?
It was Seth Green
in the movie, in the movie. Yeah.
Well,
I was on IMDb.
Not when I looked. I saw the first show. I looked.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it
I looked
Joker
again this afternoon.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it.
Scotty Evil. Let's go around the table. Where do we all most know Seth Green from?
Yeah. Airborne?
Yeah, Scotty Evil.
Okay.
Airborne?
Oh, no. The 100 Good Deeds of Eddie the Dog? What was that?
Eddie McDowell?
Don't, because you didn't realize that until later, surely.
No, I knew
you
it then.
You didn't say...
I knew it then.
You didn't see Austin Powers for the first time, like, oh, hey, that's the dude from 100 Good Things for Eddie McDowell.
Yes, I did.
There's Oz. Because
he's in the first episode.
There's
he is
Oz
a person.
Buffy.
I know.
He's the guy from Airborne. That's all I'm going to tell you about.
Okay.
That's with
Airborne?
Airborne.
Are those tablets? The tablet movie about the tablets that you eat to make yourself feel good?
Who's the... Jack Black is in that movie as well. It's a rollerblading movie with Shane McDermott.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about Blade. I didn't have any of those.
Jack Black was also in Neverending Story 3, but, you know.
we have just taken a lot of turns.
Let's get back
to... none of which about the Guardians.
No, it's all been about Howard the Duck. So that's
you're welcome.
Was in Guardians.
At the end.
How do you, now that we know this, how do you all feel about Seth Green as Howard the Duck vis-a-vis any future Howard the Duck properties?
Well, I didn't really like the look of him in that final. It looked really rushed.
It
looked a little off.
But here's the thing. I'm all for, like, jokingly acknowledging that he exists in that universe. I'm not entirely on board for...
Let me ask you this, David. Have you read the comic?
To be honest, no.
It's really, really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Great.
It's a subversion of comics everywhere.
Well, then, it came out in the 70s and was still very much in the Marvel style. So it's like, you know, Stan Lee presents Howard the Duck, and it's got all the exposition words. All
right. If we can have Rocket, I think we can do Howard the Duck.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, it's off the wall enough, like, for Marvel. I can accept it. So, yeah, like...
I
would be, if they do it well, I'd be down to see Howard the Duck do stuff.
Can we go into another a topic really quick?
Sure.
No. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite character?
Rocket.
Rocket? Benson?
Rocket or Drax? I'm torn, but I'm going
to
have to
come
go
back
with...
to me. Come back to me.
All right.
Well...
Little Indy?
I mean, I don't know. The thing is, I want to know more about Groot, but I know we're not going to get more about Groot, because all he can say is, I am Groot.
I think we might get a little something.
But I really like Gamora.
Gamora?
Oh yeah,
another word.
Yeah, I mean, we set the spoiler alarm already.
We are Groot.
Yeah,
he
managed to express that.
Yeah,
and that I'm sure everyone in the audience wept in that moment.
I did,
right, guys?
Although seeing it the first time, it didn't have effect on me, but seeing it the second time,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
I got teary eyed.
Did we all cry at least once in this film?
I got teary.
We'll count that.
Right at the beginning, I got teary, too.
Let's
come on.
That was depressing. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, when did you get most teary? Let's go. Once again, let's do another classic around-the-table situation. When did you get most teary in this film?
Oh, hold on. First, Ronan and Drax. Those are my two characters that I like.
Of course.
Lee Pace.
Really? Uh-huh. Ronan?
Yeah.
Lee Pace. Right.
He was awesome.
All right.
But,
I'm tempted to pick Nebula for that very reason.
Did you pick Nebula?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go Star-Lord, actually. I'm going to go for the main character.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot down the middle.
He was
amazing. Chris Pratt.
Before we wander too far, I just gotta say I do have a slight bias for Karen Gillan. I don't care if she's bald or blue or a robot. I am still
she was pretty badass.
Still,
you know, she turned me on.
Yeah,
especially when she screams at people. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The same way that Aria will turn you on in Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I liked the way that.
Okay, why don't you just go watch some Mass Effect?
I mean, since we start at the end anyway, so.
Well, I want to know what got you the most emotional in this movie.
Okay,
I told you mine.
Yeah,
I told you mine.
Let's go
what
back
was yours
to
again?
Mine was the Groot.
Oh,
we are Groot.
Okay,
we,
David.
Oh man, just the part that actually that hit me was right when Rocket is being all like, you know, people don't treat me like anything, and you know, I'm tired of being torn apart and put back together again. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's tough as nails raccoon.
That made you want to know so much more about him.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, actually,
part,
when Chris Pratt looks at him.
That or the part that, like, gave me the most feels is when Drax sits down next to him and just goes, boop, and pets him on the head, and he's okay with it. And I'm just like, aww.
Yeah. Andrew?
Well, it's either the We Are Groot or the beginning where the mother dies.
Yeah.
And then there's a shot on Star-Lord's face, little Star-Lord,
yeah.
Where it's like a shot on his face, and he's just like he's all fucked up, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on here?
I'll tell you.
Why am I sad immediately?
I'll tell you mine. It was that idea, but not that scene.
Mm.
For some reason, mother's death didn't make me cry until I saw
touch my hand.
Until awesome,
take my hand
too. Until he opens.
Hey, was the grandpa, was that the guy that played Mitchum Hunsberger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two!
Mitchum Hunsberger from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, we had two Gilmore Girls.
Wait, was he supposed
movie?
To be the grandpa or the uncle? I couldn't quite tell.
The grandpa.
He was the grandfather.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed uncle, but...
It seemed like he was the grandpa.
I feel,
she said grandpa will take care of you.
Yes.
IMDb had him credited as, yeah.
Yeah. So this
Grandpa Lord.
Knowing well, I'm saying knowing what we now know about Star-Lord, about Peter Quill, like that's got to be his grandfather
well,
his mother's
father. His mother's father.
Because we don't know anything about his father yet.
I mean, it's in
I'm
the comics.
Say Andrew does.
I knew about it before the movie, but I like the way that the movie hinted at it.
Yeah.
Is he gonna be Nova? Would that like be his dad?
No.
Because like isn't the dude that played isn't he human?
What are you saying?
Is Nova human?
Nova's human. Yes.
Yeah.
Wait. But Nova wasn't introduced in this film, oddly enough.
But they did the Nova Corps.
Yeah, Nova Corps was not Nova.
Okay.
You know what's weird was I didn't.
I'm not very familiar with.
I wasn't keeping tabs on who was going to be in this movie, so it actually kind of came as a surprise when Glenn Close appeared, and I'm like, okay, awesome. So that was nice.
Do we want to talk about who his dad is? Do we want to? I mean,
let's do it. We've already said spoilers.
Yeah, but I mean, this is something you don't know.
I'm fine with this.
I want to know because I was gonna look it up anyway because I'm a comic geek myself. I just haven't caught up with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Anyone can look at Wikipedia and find this.
Yeah, it's just tell me. His father has a dumb name. I'm going to say it right off the bat.
Okay,
what is it?
It's Jason, spelled J-S-O-N.
Is that
Jason?
Oh.
Is that like Jason Solo? How it's spelled?
Well, that's
J-A-Y-C. There is no Y. You're right.
You have to pronounce the dash like in Heavy Rain.
Jason.
Are you doing the reggae style?
Yeah, man.
Jason.
Follow the balloon.
Jason.
It's Jason, king of the Spartaks. Spartaks are an evil alien empire. His father is a bad guy.
Oh, really?
Thought he was an angel.
Which explains why he was kidnapped. By
Ravagers.
Yes.
To be taken
to his dad.
They were paying him give me my son. Go get my son.
Why do you think this guy never went after the Ravagers then? If he paid the Ravagers and he's supposed to be a bad guy.
They've got beef in the comics. It's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
We'll see, presumably.
Right.
Okay.
I like that they gave a very slight. I think I mentioned this to Andrew, that they gave a very slight background for Ronan. And his character and what he used to do,
But yeah, his father was involved in some kind of conflict with the Kree. I believe it was the Kree. It could have been someone else, but he crashed on Earth, knocked up a lady, and said, "Hey, I'm out." And
as soon as the rescue ship showed up, he's like, "Bye,
Superman." That's how you should have done it.
Now you see where Peter got it from.
That's why they call him.
To be honest, I forgot you were there.
That was great.
Now they don't like each other.
Nope.
So now let's talk about things actually in the film.
Right. Well, can I just say right away, because you remind me of this, because we were talking about the Ravagers.
Ravagers.
Yondu. Here's the thing. They built up to that scene where he uses his whistle arrow thing to kill all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That part was awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I want that.
I think validated why Star-Lord was like intimidated and afraid of him.
And his whole crew.
In my opinion, and this is just me, that might have been that was my personal like most badass moment of the movie right there, was just watching him own up these dudes with his cool whistle arrow thing. It felt very gunslinger-esque, and I liked that.
Mine was the Groot smash.
Mine was when
Raccoon was like, get in position and shoot these dive bombers.
Name, do what is the only part that is actually his name.
Why don't you just call him Vermin?
Call him Rocket.
Okay, Rocky, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
which one's Rocky and which one's Bull? Well, obviously,
Bullwinkle is Groot. Come on.
What would Groot sound like with a Bullwinkle? Like, I am Groot.
Yeah. you nailed it.
And he just
was Rocky a girl?
No.
But
it was a little boy.
I thought
you want to be a big
Robin Stark. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But he was voiced by a woman, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Surely.
Shirley was. Okay. Thank God.
Right. I mostly remember the voice, and then I'm like, was that supposed to be a lady or just a little?
And then also, he was kind of Bullwinkle was a Kermit situation where he was like Bullwinkle T Moose.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Well, hold on a second though.
Kermit T Frog.
So Kermit T Frog.
Who are Rocky's parents? What's the situation there where Bullwinkle
Adrian is his mother. No, wait, that's his wife.
Because Bullwinkle's an adult, right?
You'd have to watch the Kenan and Kel starring Rocky and Bullwinkle animated live-action film.
What?
You've just said animated live-action.
Is this the same one with Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Kenan and Kel were in that?
Yes.
What the fuck? How did
they went to Rocky and Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle graduated from What's the Matter You?
Did they play Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah. No.
Were they animated though?
Was it What's the Matter You?
What's the Matter You?
Yeah. What's the Matter You? Was the college that Bullwinkle graduated from? So they go back to that college, and Kenan and Kel are there.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It was. It was a Nickelodeon movie.
This is shocking. Yeah,
it was a Nickelodeon movie.
But they were animated, really?
Rocky and Bullwinkle were.
Yeah.
But they were CG in this film, of course, because it was a film. We are still not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
We didn't love that movie at all.
I don't think we need to say that we loved it because we did.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Well, yeah, we all loved it.
But I want to talk about the loving of this film. I'm not going to say this is a bad thing, but I don't know if it's Marvel. I don't know if it's Disney. I don't know who, but they engineered this film so you have to love it.
Each of the characters is given
a moment where you feel bad for them, but also that doesn't take away from the fact that they are assholes.
They all get two or three close-ups.
They get their moments. Like, each of the characters has motive that is good and defined. Everything, like, it's a well-put-together film, and that's... Mm-hmm. I find that almost shocking.
And I think to its triumph...
Because it's a comic book film.
I think
that... Other comic book films don't try this hard.
It's a comic book film that has, among its cast, a tree man and a pistol packing raccoon.
Ah.
I mean, you wouldn't think they would play it straight, but they do. And I think that's what makes it so fantastic.
To the film's credit, what it gets right is the same thing that Avengers gets right, is it's a bunch of characters that come together, and they're all... You love them in some sort. Granted, like, in this situation, we don't have any prior knowledge of them, per se. But they all come together and they do things that make you... They charm the crap out of you. You don't have crap in you anymore because they charm
Benson
you.
Benson is freaking out because he's reading over the cast list of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, God.
I'm learning so many things I didn't know about this movie. Carl Reiner's in it. John Goodman's in it. Robert De Niro doesn't play Boris, which is what I always thought.
He's big guy or...
Fearless leader.
Fearless leader.
How is this not a Doug Loves Movies answer?
Do you remember what Keenan and Kel's names were in this film?
Keenan and Kel.
Was it Kel and Keenan?
No.
They just swapped them?
Would you like to take a guess, David?
No.
Martin and Lewis.
Okay. Is that
Martin and Lewis?
Yeah, Martin and Lewis. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Geez. Thank you.
Good comedy performance team. And also celebrities in their own right.
Yeah.
That's dumb, guys.
Yeah. This was not a good film.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's a part where the fearless leader does the you talking to me in a mirror.
I didn't even know Jason Alexander was in this film.
Is that really shocking?
He is Boris.
Is that shocking?
Was he really Boris?
Yeah, who played Natasha?
Natasha Hendricks.
Russo, of course.
Right, of course. Of course.
I'm sorry I got us off on this track.
Well, anyway, we're talking about squirrels and raccoons.
I guess it's not that much of a stretch. I don't know. Anyway,
I would like to apologize. Okay, so we've got...
I was just comparing it to the Avengers, that's all.
Yeah. Well, we talked about what the characters... Well, I mean, do we want to talk about why we like the characters we like? Or do we want to go beat, like, character by character? Like, how do we want to do this?
I mean, I...
What were you going to say?
If you have something to say. I'm just saying, like...
This movie was engineered
for us to like it. And that's not a bad thing. It's just like something that I recognize as like the people who wrote this, which is the director and it's a woman.
Oh, lady, I forget her name.
There's a lady, and that's the important part. A Marvel film written by a lady. Oh boy, let's all throw our hats in the air. We've done it, everyone.
Did you hear what Kevin Feige
what'd you say?
Was saying about ladies in Marvel movies.
He said, "Ah, oh, we'll get to it."
Well, he said, you know.
It's hard.
We said, you know, it's great. Someone should do that.
It's great. Someone should do that. Well, now Sony is saying they're going to do it.
But he said like he said it's hard. He said we can't take time from building what we currently have to introduce a new thing.
Well,
is exactly what they just fucking did with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
yeah. By the way,
well, no, they're still building.
What in this movie was tied to any of the other previous movies?
The Infinity Stones,
yes.
Thanos.
Technically, yeah.
Howard the Duck. I mean, the Collector, sorry.
We're going to come... I mean...
The Collector showed up as a tease to this movie.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm saying, if they did this, how much harder would it be to make a Captain Marvel movie?
Hey, well, they... Well,
not Carol Danvers.
Hard at all. I think they should. And same with Black Widow, with a handful of other people that they should put...
That's why I was hoping that it was
not
like
even
a Black
hard.
Widow thing.
Not right.
Well, no, but I mean, just in the realm of not white, not male. You know, that kind
of... What's wrong
like,
with being a male, Andrew?
You know?
Hashtag not all men is the official stance of Nerd's Eye View of the podcast.
No.
Not Matt Benson, by the way. I'm just a guest.
Nope.
Is the official view of the podcast.
It's the official Matt view of the Ben View Network.
No, it's not.
Okay, now I'd like to apologize.
It's not.
Hashtag yes, all women.
Women. Asians.
Parades? You said
people
parades?
Who like parades?
No, I'm
Russian
pageanteers.
Russians.
But that's on behalf of David.
I mistakenly offended Asians.
Yeah, Asians was that was
and
the last
I,
one that lost me.
Not so mistaken. No.
Listen, Boris. No.
If someone has something they want to say about a character, I guess you should say it. I
say your piece now.
Because if
I was just really surprised that how good Bautista was, I liked him a lot. Giving my
Thank
only
you for choosing his wrestling name.
My only knowledge of him is from Riddick.
You didn't
and
see
he was terrible
the
in
Iron
that.
Fist.
Nope.
He was also terrible in that, let me tell you.
But he was good.
What was his superpower in that film? Do you remember?
I don't know. He had like a metal
Iron
back
Fist
or something.
Was that him?
No, RZA had Iron Fist.
Was he the guy who
was he
like
Jax?
He could turn into metal?
So, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good That's not Jax. A good film, guys.
Which one?
I don't mean to speak ill about the RZA, but the man with the Iron Fist is
Oh, no, it's terrible. It's
stuff.
Horribly misogynist as well.
Yeah. But yeah, Batista
unlike
was
Guardians of the Galaxy,
really good.
Yeah,
yeah, and there are like strong female characters. As look at Nova Prime, you mentioned.
Yeah, and not even just for their fist fighting abilities.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like we have Nova Prime, we have Gamora, we have Nebula. That's it.
Well, that one,
you know, Groot could be a woman.
That one slave lady kind of took her destiny into her own hands.
Oh yeah, and then she died and blew up a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she was serving someone else, or do you think she just saw it and went fucking
nuts? This is
my
opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she just saw it
and
went nuts.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to read too much into that. I think it was just her being like, yeah, screw being a slave. I'm going to seize my destiny, and if I'm going out... And then, well, she probably didn't know she was going to blow herself up.
Yeah.
The
interesting thing...
She was still cleaning at that
I read
point
an article that
yeah.
Listed off each of the Infinity Stones and what their actual power is.
Yeah.
And this one was, in fact, the Power Stone. So that makes sense what it was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I read a complaint online somewhere, and I was like, why are you complaining?
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be appearances of other stones now, since they're going
to
be building...
Well,
I mean, they've already had two.
We're already building up to the Infinity Gauntlet. That was hinted at ages ago.
Avengers 3, perhaps?
I mean, yeah, when Thanos showed up, that's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Before that, are you saying?
Even at Comic-Con, Josh Brolin wore an Infinity Gauntlet, so let's... Come on, guys.
Well, I mean, as early as showing that Thanos was going to be there, people knew the Infinity Gauntlet was going to be, because what's Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet?
Just a pink dude.
Yeah,
well,
he sits in a
hover throne in like crazy dark space.
Well, in the movie, they say he's the most dangerous man in the galaxy.
Yeah,
we still don't really know exactly what he does.
And Drax
in
will
the
kill
Marvel
him.
Universe, except that he was really the man behind the curtain and for the invasion of Earth.
Yeah.
During
yeah.
Avengers.
Well, and he's also pulling the strings here with Ronan.
Yeah. So I really like
big
how they're setting Thanos
huh?
up to
big
be
user.
The big
yeah.
bad.
The
I
big
really
big
like
big
that.
Bad.
Yeah,
yeah, that could have that could have happened in Fantastic Four.
Losers.
Huh?
Okay. Excuse me.
I like Fantastic Four.
What?
Comics.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder, do you think the Guardians of the Galaxy may run afoul of Galactus at some point?
Can they use
sorry, I got this.
I don't think
I don't,
legally they
yeah,
can.
I don't think they can use them legally.
Damn. Oh, well.
But this is... that talks to a point that I wrote down. Marvel is insane.
insanely awesome.
Because...
In the membrane?
Because if you look at the connection of this film to any of the other films... I mean, if people recognize that the... Because at one point when they're talking about the Infinity Stones, they show the Cosmic Cube on a background screen.
Yeah, the Tesseract is called.
The Tesseract. Excuse me. When I read comics, I get confused.
Yeah.
that's another thing
boy.
I want to talk about. But we kind of know comics, but for the average viewer, do they even understand like who Thanos is or what's going on there?
Well,
because that's like they drop you in it and you can pick it up. But I feel like because I've read Infinity Gauntlet and perhaps other people here have read not just that, but also like other comics in general, like we have a kind of a built-in knowledge. And I feel like Joe Blow on the street walks in. He sees the pink dude in a chair, and he goes like, "Oh, was he the guy
that's
after the credits for Avengers 4?"
Well, but that's
what
they're
other than he's evil, really.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you were talking about. Like, you know, it's their 10th movie, so ideally this is 10 episodes of a TV show, and so people have followed, and some people, you know, will watch a couple before they go see another one. You know, at least they'll see like Iron Man 2 before they see Iron Man 3. I think if they know that it kind of ties in somehow, you know, they'll watch. And I think Marvel maybe is creating a smarter moviegoer.
Yeah, this is one of the things I liked about this movie is that it does just throw you in.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you wouldn't understand necessarily if you hadn't seen the previous movies or read the comics at all is stuff you don't necessarily really need to know to
Winter
enjoy
Soldier
the movie.
Did that as well.
Right. Yeah, you can still really enjoy the movie. But if you have that extra knowledge, you
get a little something extra out of it.
You can enjoy it on a deeper level.
I actually think it's really ingenious of Marvel because I think they've really struck a good balance there. For the people who really like comic continuity, and you know, there's plenty of them, they have gone in and thrown the little extra bits that are gonna get, you know, and have followed through so far. Actually, saying like, here's a thing we teased really early on, and then later down the line we've had a payoff to that to a degree with further hints of things to come. But at the same time, they keep the movies really accessible to the general public. And I'm somewhere in the middle, so I can appreciate both aspects of that. And it's like you said, they're almost creating a smarter moviegoer. Now people are really looking for it. And I think they're really touching on the idea that people are blurbing about stuff all the time via social media and exploring all the stuff. And with the internet, I think that's in their head as they're doing all this. So it's almost like there's this massive overarching timeline definitely over at Marvel Studios, and like as we set these up, we have to find little connections between all of them.
Yeah.
But not make them so integral that people are going to miss those bits. So I just
do you think
you're right? They are insane.
Do you think Joss Whedon has
my statement stance?
Do you think he had Joss Whedon has like a serial killer, you know, red yarn thing in his house somewhere?
Yeah. Or him or Kevin Feige.
With just a big burned spot that you can kind of read says Edgar Wright under it.
No, it's like cut out. Just an empty hole.
I like to think it's like that boy where it's almost like he's trying to figure out who Kaiser Soze is. Yeah. But then,
I just don't. I still say Marvel is insane. Like, this is crazy that we've gotten to this point where they can just make this movie about people in space and like, oh yeah, it also ties into like half of the other films we've made.
It's crazy, but it's crazy awesome.
I had a note here and I just wrote Star Wars.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because various parts of this remind me of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Peter Quill reminds me of Han Solo.
Well, I've said the Star Wars has three aspects that very, very few films have a lot of. Which is something that I love, and it has been a constant source of disappointment in my life that there aren't more movies like Star Wars.
All right.
And that here's the three things I want.
Okay.
And I want a lot of each of these three.
So this is also his laundry list of, this is all the laundries of stuff he really needs for the new movies to matter,
yes.
Right? Okay.
There are movies that have some of these things. There are movies that have all three things, but not in big enough quantities.
Okay, let's hear it.
I want space. I want fun. And I want aliens. And I want a lot of all three. Star Trek, the new one, 2009, it's got a lot of space, got a lot of fun, like two aliens.
Come on!
True that.
This is like I always think of the cantina scene in Star Wars.
Yes.
That is one of my favorite
scenes. If someone asks me any sci-fi location you could just instantly be transported into, and maybe this wouldn't be the best choice, my first choice always would be the cantina in Star Wars.
Yeah, like when they went to nowhere, I liked that this was a mining colony and no holds barred there.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy cranked up to 11 because it's inside the skull of like basically an elder god.
Yeah.
And they're basically mining out the hollow, the cavities of it for all the organic tissue.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote on my notes, location, location, because some of the locations in those, like, once they hit nowhere, I was just like, I'm sold. This is amazing. Like, it's like, another Mass Effect reference. It's like Omega.
Yes.
Cranked up to 11.
Do you think it was smart of the collector to build his museum there?
No, but where else could he build it?
I don't think that was the greatest place.
Apparently,
it's exactly legal.
Yeah, this is the international waters of space.
Yeah.
This is where he has
but,
to.
But also, he's got to be the most dangerous or most respected man on that head?
On nowhere,
because no one robs that guy.
Yeah, see, on a need-to-know basis,
assumingly.
He knows a lot. He's I was about to... You know, my mind went to what's his face. They mentioned
Perlman in Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Hannibal?
Yeah. There we go. Hannibal Chow. That's it. I was going to say Hannibal Chow, or actually my brain
I thought you were going for
really...
the blue guy from Doctor Who, whatever his name was.
Well, I don't remember that guy's name. My brain
Doctor
went to
Who
a
is
really
one of the things that occasionally
place.
Meets my space fun aliens.
My brain went to a really weird place, because all of a sudden I thought of all things, Mr. Universe from Serenity.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, so...
Anyway. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about James Gunn. Who here has seen any of James Gunn's other films?
I've seen Super.
Two.
You've seen Super and Slither?
Yep.
David?
And Dawn of the Dead, if you want to call that one of his.
Did he write that?
He did write that.
But
Zach Gunn?
Motherfucking Snyder directed that.
It was a Snyder Gunn feature.
Yeah.
And Snyder should have gunned himself.
Still should. Yep, that's right. You hear it here first. I am openly advocating a man's suicide. As long as that man is Zack Snyder.
This is also something you might have offended, like, his mother.
Don't care.
Or maybe she's mad at him. We don't know.
You know what? The hordes of Superman fans will protect me because they will know what a favor I have done them.
Anyway, I think whatever his style, because I watched Super.
We watched it, yeah.
And
we reviewed it a long time ago.
Whatever his style is there, it comes out here, where he uses oddball characters that are unlikable. He kind of takes situations and twists them around. Like the essentially the climax in this film is Star-Lord's dances to distract Ronan
yes.
long enough to shoot him.
Yes.
I mean that's pretty nuts.
Yeah,
that's.
I love that.
Let me go back to my other note. Marvel is insane.
Yeah. I love that it was Drax that got to shoot him. By the way, like
yeah.
he got his revenge.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Because ideally he could not, as strong as he is, we saw he can't take down Ronan.
When you seek revenge, you must dig two graves, one for Ronan and one for Thanos, is Drax is thinking.
Yes.
That's exactly, if you said that to Drax, he'd go, yes,
yeah.
one for Ronan,
yeah.
one for Thanos.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, exactly, you wouldn't have to tell him what, he'd be like, one for Ronan, one for Thanos.
Isn't
yeah.
that a fantastic character trait, by the way, the fact that he just doesn't get metaphors?
And you know, now that makes you realize something about his whole entire species of people. You
Which
know.
Is weird. Do you guys know Drax in the comics?
No.
No.
It's a weird thing. He was a human, Arthur something, who his wife and kids got killed by Thanos. And then, in order to get him to kill Thanos, they transferred him into the body of Drax the Destroyer.
Oh.
And he lost his memories in the process. The only thing that he retained was a desire to kill
Well,
Thanos.
Like, I mean...
And at some point, he gets his memory back.
Do you think this is going to
so
be a Donald Blake situation where they're not
yeah,
even
yeah.
going to...
I don't know if they're
yeah.
going to honor that.
They're keeping some parts of that idea, but... Otherwise, it's a new take on the character,
yeah.
I think.
And that doesn't bother me because anyone that enters a Nova Corps suit has powers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including the guy from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, that guy.
Peter Serafinowicz.
There you go, sir.
With a bunch of a-holes. My Peter Serafinowicz impression.
What... Was
spot on.
I'm gonna look at Benson as our Marvel expert now. Was Gamora fairly close or like what?
Yeah,
her thing
adopted
is
adopted daughter of Thanos.
Daughter of Thanos.
Yeah.
And who's her real parents? Do you know offhand?
I don't know offhand.
So. Are they important at all?
I mean, not
to Gamora.
Maybe. Yes, yeah, certainly
to Gamora.
Gamora. But okay. I don't know.
Yeah, because I liked what I'm also gonna say is I liked the way that the Guardians met.
Yeah.
I liked each of them had a different thing that they wanted.
Unified by John C. Reilly.
And then, yeah. And then
John C. Reilly approved.
Then Wreck-It Ralph said, "Get it together, guys." I mean, like Groot and Rocket were just traveling, bounty hunters.
I almost wanted. I joked with someone that Rocket and Groot are almost like the 3PO and R2 of this film. Well, one doesn't talk much, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
Where one is hard to understand, and
the other one
was less polite and like shooting people.
That's interesting. I thought of them as the Han Solo and Chewbacca. Because Rocket can understand what Groot is saying.
Oh, that's a good point,
yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
If you just merge all those concepts,
yeah.
I think we get halfway
they're the weird, like, characters that already knew each other before the movie started. That's why I think of the 3PO. But then again,
yeah.
the same could be applied to Han Solo and Chewbacca. So,
did
yeah.
you guys did
Star
you guys
Wars.
Ever always...
Do you
want
to know
Wars.
Why
yeah.
it's slightly plausible that he could understand what Groot's saying, by the way? Because
please.
Do you know why all Groot can say is, I am Groot?
Because,
is that what is how his language works?
Well, it's kind
what?
Of a Hodor situation,
yeah.
actually. Because like they're super intelligent, super complex as species, and because of the way like their vocal cords are like stiffer, they're made of wood, so they make sounds that are distinguishable to them, But no matter what they say, it just sounds like I am Groot to us. But since Rocket Raccoon does not have human ears, it is therefore slightly plausible
that he could, distinguish.
Or do you think just through all of Rocket's experimentations, perhaps, he somehow picked it up?
Yeah. Could be.
Could be Rocket has a universal translator somewhere in his head. True. Who knows?
Also, a fun fact about Groot is in his original appearance, which I know you, Andrew, have read.
Yeah.
He could talk. And that's
he
not
said a
addressed.
Lot of things.
It's not addressed. And he was a bad guy who wanted to steal Earthlings and bring them back to his home on Planet X for experimentation.
Yeah, and there was a lot of other Groots on Planet X that were just, like, talking a lot.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Yeah. That, Tales to Astonish, number 19, I'm going to say.
I think you're close.
I read it recently.
Isn't it a delight? They should bring back Tales to Astonish. They should bring back Tales of Suspense and
they
Tales
bring
to
back
Astonish.
Yeah, anthology series in general is in comics.
Yeah. Too. I support this.
And they, you know what? Let's take a second to complain about the good folks at Dynamite Entertainment, who have a Twilight Zone comic out right now that is not an anthology series.
Ew.
Yes. David gets it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as someone who basically does an anthology series and for his podcast, Midnight Marinara, I get behind that. Like,
yeah.
That's how it works. That's how the Twilight Zone works.
Yeah. Ooh, little footsie going on.
You know, I always play footsie.
Little socks only footsie between me and Andrew.
I'm jealous.
Are we done reviewing yet? I don't know what's going
on.
We've gone everywhere.
Almost. Man. You know what? I want to point out really quick. I really like the some of the ship designs in this.
Yeah, it was a cool look.
Especially the Nova Corps ships with their like kind of starburst look to them and how they're really symmetrical and then they form like this happy harmony net.
That giant
net,
yeah.
Ones that were red, pink, yellow, and orange, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
They're starburst design.
You said starburst. Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody likes the yellow ones.
You know, they've got a place.
You know, that's offensive.
I just thought it was cool. They're like, you see the ship.
Dang it, I apologize to Starburst.
We lost a sponsor, guy. A potential sponsor. But no, I liked how you see them and they're like, oh, okay, this like kind of almost Star Fox looking the ships. And then they like come together and they make these perfectly symmetrical little lines for this crazy grid net that they form. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, they're literally like ships designed to create harmony because they have this weird unity with each other too that they do this. I'm like,
catching things in nets is a big theme in this film.
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently like they're really religious too.
What?
I don't know much about the Nova Corps.
Ronan said something about like their god or whatever.
Their gods.
Worship their gods.
Have forsaken you or something like that.
Look what they brought.
Ronan's got some real beef.
Ronan's
with those
a
guys.
Religious villain.
Yeah. He's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Ronan, I like that they gave him some motivation. Otherwise, he'd be kind of a two-bit villain as a like galactic conqueror. I didn't think. I honestly, like, there was. For me personally, there wasn't a ton going for Ronan, apart from the fact that I got why he was doing it, because there's this ancient animosity between the Kree and the people of the planet.
Zandarians,
thank you. Yeah, I knew.
Come on, it sounds like Xander Cage.
I kept trying to think, and I was like, I know it sounds like someone from Buffy. Anyway.
Leader of the new Nation of Domination.
what
they're saying.
I do want to talk about, so...
Sneaking a little wrestling talk.
Thanos is the big bad, but he doesn't. Thanor. He makes it through this film without entering the fray.
Yeah.
Ronan explodes, I guess, and Nebula just loses a hand, Star Wars style.
Yep.
Oh yeah, she makes a total Darth Vader style getaway on a spaceship.
Yeah, she's
coming back.
It was crazy. Gamora was gonna help her up. I guess that's a moment of compassion.
They did grow up.
John McClane did it
together.
I don't know.
Air quotes on
John McClane wanted to do it.
She's a good person.
I mean, I accept why she does it, but like, I was just like, geez, you were. She's trying to kill you. But then I think what Nebula does is the most badass. She's like, nope, not gonna accept your help. Cuts off her hand, drops on a ship, and steals it. Like, that's insane.
Get out of here.
I would rather cut off my hand than go hang out with you, Gamora.
Yeah, that's like insane.
Bummer.
Yeah.
So Nebula can come back. What else? Peter Serafinowicz dying was pretty sad.
Serafinowicz?
Serafinowicz. Thantor?
Who
is that?
Talk about Escape.
Tonto?
In parentheses, the Pina Colada song.
What about it?
I feel like James Gunn has chosen the exact right moment in time to bring that song back as something that people would actually enjoy. Like, it was, I think for so many years, it was just a song that got played too much on the radio by, like, I don't know, like, moms.
That in Margaritaville.
Yes. That people were sick of it, and I think if he had done, if this movie had come out a week earlier, people would have rejected that song a week later, and just it would have faded too far. No one would care anymore. James Gunn knew the exact right moment. I've been blasting it on the old car stereo, and I enjoy it a lot. And I do like Pina Coladas and Getting Caught in the Rain. I'm not much into health food. I am into champagne.
All right, then.
Beautiful. Yeah, that they chose their classic music very well for that movie.
So we talked a lot about comics related things. Does anyone have anything else to say regarding this as a film?
It does a great job of building a world, and in 2 hours, in literally 2 hours and 4 minutes, maybe
one minute, two minutes.
So not literally. In that span, you get a little bit of everyone from where they're from and their origins, and even just smaller characters that are you kind of understand how the whole entire galaxy.
Is that a high joke about
Rocket
Raccoon?
Right.
No.
But like even at the end, John C. Reilly comes home and he hugs his pink wife and pink daughter.
Saw were saved on the bridge by Raccoon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was great.
Thank you.
So that makes me wonder, is he from Earth, or is he some sort of...
From Earth.
Yeah.
He is the result of crazy experimentation.
Rocket? Are we talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about John C. Reilly.
John C.
Reilly
is the result of crazy experimentation.
He's a Zandarian.
Yes. No, he's a Zandarian.
Yeah, okay.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
You're from Earth.
As a snarky internet meme thing said that I agree with.
I read this. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Maybe I saw it because you shared it or liked it or something.
I might have liked
Share
it.
Away.
Rocket Raccoon, known, especially in the comics, for being a violent psychopath, went out of his way to save more citizens than Superman did in Man of Steel. Yet another reason why Man of Steel is a fucking
garbage. I don't even think Marvel did that in response to Man of Steel.
No,
I think that's just Marvel was like, we're making a good film.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening.
You can see how he'd be a psychopath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I was kind of impressed because the thing I worried about is this, and now it's like, oh, they're just going to take the raccoon character and make him comedy relief. And, you know, to a degree, there was comedy relief, but that was for everyone. Like, it was equal opportunity. But everybody also got, like you said, everybody got the limelight. So the character I thought was going to be just kind of the, haha, look, it's a talking raccoon, got played really straight, and he actually got to do some serious stuff.
Bradley Cooper's voice was
great.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
So great.
Fit for the character.
I've got a lot of thoughts on Bradley Cooper.
Thank God it wasn't Adam Sandler.
I think, was that even a possibility?
Yes, at one point in time, I believe it was.
That's scary.
It could have been, ooh, look at the water boy.
What I think one of my favorite Rocket lines was, I'm standing now, all right?
Yeah.
Everyone's standing now.
And it kind of pans out a little bit.
He just can't. Even though standing on, like, two boxes, he just can't.
He looked great, though, too. All the CG in this movie looks
I think
so good.
I want to talk about Awesome Mix number 2. I want to talk about...
Volume 2?
Volume 2.
Right, Volume 2.
So, in the beginning of the film, we get this moment where the mom gives a present, and she says, oh, don't open it until I'm gone. And then he runs away, and he gets kidnapped by aliens.
Yeah.
And I knew, because this is how scripts work, that he was not going to open that box until the end of the goddamn movie.
Yep.
Even if it didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that made... I still think it doesn't make a lot of sense why he didn't open that present until all these years later.
Because as long as that present is unopened, he still has something new from his mom.
Yep. But I agree with Benson.
Did everyone know that it was going to be another cassette tape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought in the dumbest way possible it was going to be he was going to open it when they needed some random object and it
Power
would turn out to be the exact thing you would need.
Well, okay, I knew
it's
pretty much
space
at the moment.
Gun.
Yeah, right.
I knew pretty much at the moment.
Your dad left this for you.
Well, I mean that would kind of make sense.
Boom.
When he was talking to Gamora about how his mom used to share all the like popular music of the day with him, and that was like a bond they had. I'm like, it's going to be a mixtape.
I thought it would be something from his dad. Actually, I thought it would be something from Jason.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Power Glove.
Leaning toward. Sure. A copy of the Wizard.
Like his dad bought it on the way before, yep. On the way to the rescue ship.
It's super. He could have
given
him
kids
some,
like this.
Some smart tech.
What
if
this was 88, right?
Or the track and field trackpad.
86.
Oh no! When he was kidnapped in 1988.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 88. Right?
And it's 26 years later. So he's an old man, by the way. Not an old, but
he's 30-ish.
He's his late 30s.
No, I was gonna say it's Super Mario Brothers 3.
Well, that's a good.
But that was 1990, so like or something along those lines. Yeah.
So the American version of Mario 2.
There you go. Yeah. Movie,
so. The what?
The start of the movie. He left before 1988 because he had been gone for years at that point.
Who did? Oh, the dad. Yeah. You're right.
Not the dad, but like, yeah.
It even says something about, oh, geez, what's his name again? I'm blanking on it. Michael Rooker's character?
Yeah, Yondu.
Yondu, Pondu. That, like, they kept him.
Pondu?
But they were going to eat him.
Yeah, and Sean Gunn's character makes a comment about that, saying, hey, it's probably a good thing you kept him. He turned out to be, you know, he's not so much of a bad guy. These Ravagers, they're all right.
Yeah,
they're just regular folks trying to get by.
They just ravage.
Right, just ravage.
Just trying to get by. Yeah. All right. They probably killed a lot of people.
Can,
it's a dirty,
did,
scary galaxy.
And this was a while ago. I'm assuming, when did Terran become the go-to sci-fi code for Earth?
Ever since the game Terraria.
I mean,
there was that Terra Nova show.
Terra. I mean, that's where it's taken from.
Yeah.
Just the word Terra. Yeah. I don't know. When did that become popular?
Yeah, it's like how orcs are like a new thing, but now they're you can just use them in any kind of fantasy.
Did anyone think that the Ronin's soldiers kind of look like orcs?
Oh, I was going to address that. So that are they aliens or are they some sort of undead? They kept talking about necro like stuff, like the necroblasts.
They did. They seemed easy to kill, so it was obviously some kind of they were. I think
like
they were like
drone.
They
soldier?
Were built as drone. Yeah, they weren't. They weren't like they didn't go home to their family and say, "Oh, it was a hard day." Like
it's a Sauron type thing,
right? They don't even have like they have like blank faces that have kind of like cracks and bits in them. So I kept assuming either they're some they're composed of some sort of dead tissue or
the
maybe
way,
they're undead.
Are they Thanos or are they?
Apologies to the orc community because. Unlike the implication that you just made, they're in fact their own species. They're not just drones.
Oh, no, orcs are actual. They were actual.
According
beings.
To the movie, they're just
they're
like
actual.
Born.
Go home to their.
They're just kids. Born to kill.
Well, that's dumb.
Well, the orcs.
That's in the movie.
In Tolkien's lore, the orcs were created by the Dark Lord Melkor.
Yes.
When he took
Tolkien
the elves
was a
and
racist
and
who liked
them.
To suggest that hey, you could have one whole race that's just evil. Because Tolkien is a racist shit, and they're not good books.
I mean, he is.
You created a language.
I'm not going to deny that.
He is. I feel like that was aimed at someone.
And probably sexist.
Hey, isn't this a great fantasy world where we can all admit that this whole race is evil?
Well,
that's what he was suggesting.
And also, this race is penny-pinching.
Yes!
Well, that's how I feel about the Redwall books, but that's another kettle of fish entirely. Anyway.
There's literally like an interview where it says, yeah, the dwarves are Jews. Like, he said that. And people still pretend these are good books.
Anyway,
so I noticed that thing with the necroblasts and the necro soldiers. I'm like, so they're dead somehow.
Probably.
Like that's what it implies. Necro energy. They're shooting.
I mean,
there wasn't.
Ronan must have some religious ceremony he can do to bring back the.
So you think they're his then and not
he's
Thanos?
Got some magics.
could Thanos do that?
Thanos?
I mean, he's got ill-defined powers.
Phantom
so
of the Opera?
He can do what he can do. Don't worry about it.
I did like that Thanos only seemed just kind of annoyed that Ronan didn't give him the stone. He's just kind of sitting there on the big screen just like...
Yeah. Like, I gotta get
you
up.
Done screwed up. Thanos knows. Thanos knows everything is going to come to him at the end. I mean, look at what happened in the Avengers. He's just like, yeah, this is all going according to plan, you know?
I mean, at least he knows where the different stones are now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, at least two of them.
Three. Aether.
What?
The Aether.
What
from Thor to the Dark World? The Aether?
Is that a
That's a stone, yeah.
Yeah, that
I
was a stone, right?
I don't remember that movie as well as I apparently thought I did.
It's a stone. I'm just gonna... It's not a stone, but it is. They made it one.
I hope they keep in... this trend of at least Winter Soldier, really good. Guardians of the Galaxy, really good. I hope now that the next Marvel movie, is it Ant-Man or
is
Avengers?
Ant-Man next or
Avengers 2.
Then I hope, is Joss Whedon directing
is
it?
Before Ant-Man?
Okay.
Ant-Man's Phase 3.
Oh, okay.
Going to be the first one of Phase 3.
Well, I
pray to God that, like, Avengers 2.
Beloved Peyton Reed.
Director of Yes Men.
Yeah.
No, wait, Men? Man. Yes Men.
X-Men. X-Men. Last
Wiseman.
Stand.
Yes.
Why? It's actually pronounced Wiseman.
No bananas. No bananas today.
But I'm only mentioning that because...
Are we done with our review yet, for God's sake?
The majority... Yeah. I never saw Thor, but Thor 2, but the majority of people didn't like Thor 2.
What? I love Thor 2.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Ironing
it's
Man
better
3?
Than Thor 1?
Way better than Thor 1.
I like Thor 1.
Yeah, even though that also approaches a J.R.R. Tolkien level of racism.
That
where
wasn't
there's
a gay comment. That wasn't accusing him of being gay. I was accusing him of being misogynist. Just for the record. There will be no more apologies to the gay community today.
But yeah, I think we've exhausted this one. I'm starting to agree. But
this is our longest episode yet.
Ever, really? Probably.
Well,
but
in
we
a while.
Love this movie so much.
Hey, 2 weeks in a row we set length records, Andrew.
I almost saw it a third time before I came here. Had there been a showing that I could have fit into, I would have saw it.
All right, so, I mean, this film is good.
I'm just saying,
one should be surprised here.
I saw across the board, thumbs up from the Nerd's Eye View crew.
Four thumbs up.
I saw There Will Be Blood 3 times in a theater, and that's my max, and this one twice. Mm-hmm. And
nice.
Dark Knight.
No.
TDK.
TDK.
Awesome mix.
You know what I did?
Volume 3.
I saw that
TDK.
Twice as well.
Yeah.
In theaters, yeah.
When you like it, you gotta go.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing.
I
would see it again.
I don't remember how many times.
I might have seen it a third.
Oh,
I'm
Avengers
honestly
twice.
Trying to remember right now.
I saw Scott Pilgrim 5 times.
Wow. Whoa. I saw it at least twice.
Is that the most that you've ever seen? Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Nathan or Justin saw Avengers 10 times.
Dang,
it might have been Nathan.
I saw it 3 times, Avengers.
That's like $70 right there.
He kept
almost.
Seeing it. Well, it got to lesser and lesser theaters,
okay.
Of course.
We'll go 50.
Plus, you know, you can do a movie 45. Hop situation.
He might have movie hopped.
I don't break the law.
I would if they let me.
I don't give a hell about your laws.
All right, so that's our review.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a hell about your laws.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a hell.
All right, Bart Simpson. Don't know how to curse over there.
Well, he knows hell and damn.
What was the other? It was words in the Bible that they could say.
Oh, yeah.
What was the one that he was like, I don't know what it means, but I'm sure it's a bad word. It was like someone's name. It was a woman's name, I thought. Like
Gamora.
Balthazar. Or...
I don't know.
Anyway, that brings us to...
Oh,
shit, there's still a podcast to go.
I thought we were done.
The next part. Which is Guess the Ending, but to play the Guess the Ending, we have to say all the titles of what's new in theaters.
And
Matt, take it away.
Count us down.
We've got some Heroes and a Half Shell. You know which one that one is. The 100-Foot Journey into the Storm. No, I'm not doing like a box office top 10 thing here. It's The 100-Foot Journey is one movie. Into the Storm is another. And then Step Up All In. I feel like there should be a colon after Step Up, but that's just me. And
you
What If?
Step Up All In.
It's a Marvel What If.
It's like Star Trek Into Darkness.
And,
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Andrew, do your thing. I'm going to stand up. God, my legs are killing me.
Let's talk about...
Sex, baby. Talk about you and me.
Let's talk about our sponsors and our supporters and our lovers, apparently. Our theme song is called Sophomore Makeout. It's by Silent Partner, and we got it from the YouTube Audio Library.
Yay!
Y'all.
Thanks, all of those people. Our logo is designed, colored, inked, drawn, etc. by Justin Keyson of Agents of Guard.
Guy, he sucks.
AgentsofGuard.com is where you can find those articles that he writes and I write and Benson writes.
Yeah.
We're all writers here. Thanks.
Yes. How are you?
I'm a ghostwriter.
If you...
I'm an actual ghost.
Like
and an actual writer.
Podcasts.
Yes. This is
Watch Your Mouth.
Speaking of podcasts,
let's talk about theirs first.
And if you like Community, you should be listening to Shut Up, Leonard. That's right. Benson and I host a podcast all about Community. Every episode we review one episode of the show.
Talking about Jeff Wing.
We're in season 2 right now.
Talking about Troy Barnes.
And you can find that at shutupleonard.com or on Twitter at shutupleonard.
Yes.
Or just go to...
Nope, on Twitter at shutupleonard.
You know what? I looked right at it and said the wrong thing.
Shut up, Len Pod.
At shutupleonard. for space and Taken reasons.
Speaking of podcasts, David has a podcast.
I do have a podcast. It is called Midnight Marinara.
What's it about?
It's a bi-monthly podcast that takes creepypasta, the good ones, although occasionally we do take a bad one and parody it, adapts them into audio dramas, a la, say, something out of the 1940s, except with more swearing.
Is it cool?
Oh, it's very cool. You guys right?
Has anyone been on it?
These two gentlemen, actually, Benson and Andrew here, have been on
16.
It.
The good guy.
The nice guy.
The nice guy.
They were on episode...
What's wrong about it?
Episode 14, The Nice Guy, has close. These two in it.
Episode 17, The Good Fella.
I feel like there's an actor that's... maybe Samuel L. Jackson's like, I was probably in that, yeah.
So basically what it is it's like we talked about Twilight Zone earlier, and I know I've plugged it on the show before, but basically I take spooky stories and I turn them into spooky radio plays. Except radio plays aren't really as big a thing anymore, but now we have the internet, so... Podcasts are the new portal, and I am taking full advantage of that.
And you do it.
A portal to limbo.
You do it well.
Thank you.
That was some good video game references right there.
Where
I like
can
that.
You get this.
Yeah.
Well, you can find it on the Benview Network, actually. You can find it there. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on SoundCloud, although SoundCloud's not exactly up to speed. Quite a few places, really.
And your most recent episode, you actually don't do a creepypasta.
Right, because here's the thing. Drudgery. Sometimes it gets exhausting having to dig through tons of bad stories that are trying too hard to be scary, or, you know, copious amounts of Jeff the Killer fan fiction. So I decided, hey, I should look at the classics. My most recent episode was an adaptation of Charlotte Perkins Gilman's The Yellow Wallpaper, which is an older story from... turn of the century, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I plan on doing more in the future because it turned out really well.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
I really like that.
Thank you.
And if Tom was here, what would he say?
Oh, I don't like trees. Readwave.com and optigrab.org.
It's right there in the document.
This is my fantasy baseball.
Your fantasy baseball, of course. And you should vote for Nerds Eye View on podcastland.com.
Yes.
That's a... place for podcasts, so just go there.
Podcast load.
And you can find all the podcasts that we've mentioned so far and more, including Popsicles,
yeah.
Matt and Brendo's wrestling show,
yeah.
Benson's Boombox,
not a podcast,
on hiatus.
And
what? Pillagecast, Picture Start. We got a lot of P's. Comic Nerds Unite.
There it is.
Can I ask you a Benson's Boombox question?
Have you heard their new theme song?
No, is it good?
You know what? I support it, because it actually uses the same exact tune of their old theme song,
huh.
but the people who made it wrote new words.
Nice.
And you know what? That's smart. I applaud them for coming up with that. The Fantastic Plastics. They're a good band.
Nice.
And they're nice people, I think.
Did we mention Radio Brenda Man?
Oh. Is it?
Radio Brando Man.
Yeah.
That's just, I'm fucking around.
I'm trying to make sure we hit all the shows. Nerds Eye View's on there.
Well, you're listening, so it better be.
I'm sorry.
You should already know about some of these shows. Come on, guys.
BenviewNetwork.com or on Twitter, @BenviewNetwork. And of course, our personal website, NEVpodcast.com. You can email us your local video store stories, NEVpodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter, @NEVpodcast. And my personal Twitter is @SameCool11.
Mine is @DrMattBenson. That's Dr. Matt Benson.
Mine is @ScarySauce.
Good.
All right.
And Matt is
I'll have one eventually.
Is a troglodyte? What is it?
His is @JasonManzoukas. That's a deep cut podcast reference.
It sure is. And now it's time for Guess the Ending. You'll never guess how it ends.
Quack, quack.
Howard the Duck?
Howard.
Get out of here.
Howard the Duck.
I want to get this quick. So when you're guessing your endings, make them snappy.
Make them snappy.
So David, you're up first.
All right.
Read us what your movie is and then make it snappy.
My movie is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Should I go ahead and say who's in it?
Yeah, you should say.
Well, it's directed by Jonathan Liebesman.
Liebesman,
and starring Megan Fox, Will Arnett, William Fichtner, and Noel Fisher.
I think it's a shame that Whoopi Goldberg's not listed here, because she's in this film.
Is she?
Wow.
Yes.
Is she April O'Neil?
She's like the TV She's Donatello. Leader lady. Huh?
She's Donatello.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you were going to say she was Splinter. That would
You know, I said April O'Neil. I'd
be
guys.
Into it.
Yeah, seriously.
She's Casey.
A darkness has settled over New York City as Shredder and his evil Foot Clan have an iron grip on everything from the police to the politicians.
She's Vanilla Ice.
The future's grim until four unlikely outcast brothers rise from the sewers and discover their destiny as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The Turtles must work with fearless reporter April O'Neil and her cameraman, Vern Fenwick, to save the city and unravel Shredder's diabolical plan. I believe that Shredder's diabolical plan is actually to find the painting of Vigo the Carpathian and unleash evil onto New York City in that manner. It is eventually revealed at the end that the Turtles were not evolved from toxic ooze, but from the four souls of fallen ninja warriors that came to them after they became part of that ectoplasmic ooze that was flowing under the city. In the end, they have to join up with the Ghostbusters to fight Shredder and Vigo.
Nice. I like it.
Thanks. Vigo Mortensen.
Yes.
All right, Benson.
Okay, I'm doing The 100-Foot Journey. This is directed by Lassie Hallström, presumably related to the dog.
No, he's a great director. Do you not know? He did What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Listen. He did,
I'm trying to make a Lassie joke here.
I want to respect this director.
In my way.
He did a movie that I really like.
Lassie made some great films too, Andrew.
Also, the dog was named after him.
It's a great legacy.
That was the dog's name.
Lassie was the dog's name.
Directed by Lassie Hallström.
His name was Junior.
Oh, boy. Starring Helen Mirren. Mirren? It's Mirren, of course. Mirren.
Helen Mirren.
Hello, Helen
Mirren.
Puri?
What'd you say?
Manish Dayal. And Charlotte LeBone.
You just offended non-Americans.
Let's have Benson just read names out of a phone book. That should
I'm
be our new podcast.
This. I'm down for this. Good plan.
Here's the plot synopsis. The Kadam family clashes with Madame Mallory, proprietress of a celebrated French restaurant, after they open their own nearby eatery, until undeniable chemistry causes the madame, to take gifted young chef Hassan under her wing.
You got Hassan right. Good job.
I always wonder when it's with the E, is it madame or madam?
I always thought it was madam.
Because I think when it's with the E at the end, it's madam.
Frankly, my dear.
I think we're never going to... This is going to be a ma'am-mum situation.
Evening, mum.
Marm.
How do you think this one is going to end, Benson?
I'll tell you. So, the madam and Hassan, they've got undeniable chemistry. They're joining forces to make a great super restaurant.
Super restaurant.
And
super salad.
And they discover... They are told by some kind of mystical gypsy hobo of a magic truffle that will help make their dishes more delicious. And the gypsy points, and so the truffle is 100 feet that way. And then the person says, well, "Okay, well, to get 100 feet that way, first I have to go 50 feet." They get 50 feet. And they say, well, okay, to get the rest of the 50 feet, I have to go 25 feet. And then they say, well, okay, to get 25 feet, I have to go 12 and a half feet. And then they say, okay, to go 12 and a half feet, first I have to go 6 1/4 feet. And it keeps going on and on like this. And then the movie ends with a zoom in, and you find out that Madame, whatever her name was, Mallory, was originally Madame Zeno. And that's the twist.
What?
That's a math joke.
Well, originally I thought you were doing...
Math / philosophy joke? I don't know how you qualify Zeno's paradox.
I thought you were going to do a
pushy daisies.
But you know what?
The real nerds with their eye views
I understood that, but then when you said Zeno, I got lost. I forgot that was the name of it. I forgot which one you're doing. Are you doing Into the Storm?
I have chosen Into the Storm.
Oh, okay.
Directed by Stephen Quayle. I was going to say Quale.
Either way, I would have laughed.
Yeah. Starring Richard Armitage.
You're thinking of the great rapper Taleb Quayle.
He's thinking of Dan Quayle, the president. He's come back as a director.
Are we talking about Quayle Man? The fictional superhero who's now directing movies?
Starring Callies? Kalees, Matt Walsh, and Max Diakon. No? Anyone? Listen, all right.
That's my game.
All right. So, Matt's are the same. Storm trackers, thrill seekers, and everyday townspeople document unprecedented onslaught of tornadoes touching down in the town of Silverton. So these storm trackers, these thrill seekers, and everyday townspeople, they're like, man, all these tornadoes, like, what were they again? Cyclones? Tornadoes. The town of Silverton's been ravaged by these tornadoes. We gotta check it out. And then they go, and they just see a lot of wreckage. And they're like, oh, man, I wonder if there's any survivors. And as they're looking survivors, more tornadoes come by, and they kill those storm trackers, thrill seekers, and everyday townspeople because there's an impressive onslaught of tornadoes. Why the fuck would you go there? The end.
All right, then.
Can I ask you this? Will the Weird Al song Twister, which was a parody of the Beastie Boys, and about the game Twister, not about Twisters, but will that feature in the film?
It is the title sequence. That is the song for it.
Great.
Yes. And also closing credits.
Awesome. All right. I've got Step Up All In. Directed by Trish Tsai, starring Ryan Guzman, Brianna Evigan.
I half expected him to say Trish Stratus just then.
That's the only Trish I know.
Yeah.
Adam G. Savini, and Misha Gabriel Hamilton.
Misha Gay Harden.
All stars from the previous Step Up installments come together in glittering Las Vegas, battling for a victory that could define their dreams and their careers.
Which one's Channing Tatum?
I'm going to get to that cameo. Mm-hmm. So, Bacon? All the people from the
joint Footloose Step Up.
Which one's Honey?
Look, hold on.
Okay, step up, sorry.
Look, you're all jumping the gun.
Sorry, we're pre-guessing and it's wrong.
So they all meet up. They're all, you know, coming together, and they're like, oh, hey, I remember you. We stepped up together back in the day, and oh, wow, here we are. We're stepping up again. But then they're like, oh, no, we have to compete. And they're like, oh, our friendships, we have to put them to the test. And so the teams are formed, and everybody has a thing they're working for. Well, somebody has a sick grandmother. Another one's trying to buy a house for their parents. Another one has a baby sister that's in the hospital. Another one just wants a car. So they all have their wants and dreams and everything. And, of course, there's one who just really wants to step up. Sure. Like, that's their goal. Winning this would allow them to step up full time.
Do any of them want to step up for midterms?
Anyway.
Sorry. Community reference.
So the competition's going on, and they don't know who the judges are until they get to the competition. And then they find out the judges. One of them is whatever Channing Tatum's character was from the original Step Up. So they're like, oh, you're a Step Up master. Like, they all, like, bow down to him.
Yeah.
And then the other one is whatever Ryan. What was his name in Footloose?
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Footloose character is one of the judges.
Yeah,
this is the actual defining crossover moment of Footloose. And they're like, oh, yeah.
This is a crossover with the original Footloose.
Wait, yeah, with the original Footloose.
One of them isn't Honey as well? Honey's not one of the judges?
Sure, she's the dancer.
Who was...
Okay.
Go ahead.
So can this be the second film and then a trilogy where the first film is Footloose, this is number two, and the third one is Footloose Generation?
That's called a legacy.
Yeah, Footloose Legacy.
Kevin Bacon and what's his name?
And the little boy.
Yeah.
He wants to be a big boy. Yeah. So Kevin Bacon's character, Ryan something, and they're like, oh, that was the... He legendarily taught a town to dance when they didn't want to dance. He made them all step up. And so they get on the stage. They step up. And, of course, the one who wins the ultimate prize is the one whose dream is to step up full time.
Sure.
So that leads into, well, of course, next we have Footloose Generations.
Ren, of course, is his name.
Ren, not Ryan.
Ren McCormick.
But then also there's going to be the next Step Up film is called Step Up Full Time.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a heartwarming
and then,
you know,
Step Up Overtime
crossover. Yeah.
Step
of the
up
century.
Personal time off.
Step Up Retirement is the last one.
Step Up AARP.
I'm 65 and I've
Step Up and Richard.
Step Up RIP.
Nope.
Prior.
Nope.
Richard.
I like this game.
Gilmore.
Nope.
Gilmore.
Nope.
Reed Richards.
Who's the one who's this famous workout man?
Richard Simmons.
Simmons. Richard Simmons shows up in Step Up Retirement.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. That's the ending.
Yay.
So what would you say? What time is it?
So it's time to end the guessing.
There it is.
And if any of those endings are correct, you can email us nevpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone for being here on this very strange episode.
Strange and beautiful.
Strange, and we were a bunch of assholes. this has been episode...
A-holes, please, this is a PG-13 show.
Oh, I'm sorry. A-holes.
You can say bitch.
You can say dicks.
I'm sorry, I don't know how this machine works.
Awesome.
I don't know how this machine works. What? I don't know what we're watching next week, but it'll be a doozy.
Let's all watch Guardians of the Galaxy
just
again.
Do another
there
one.
We go. We'll come back and talk about it again.
Come back for our real review.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. This has been episode 195 of Nerds Eye View. I'm Andrew. Dead air. Good job.
I don't know what to do when you point.
I will see you all later.
I'm Matt Benson.
Thanks.
Hooked on a feeling.
I'm high on believing.
That's your it.
Aww. I'm freaking my heart with his thoughts about this film, and then further with his thoughts about Shaquille O'Neal.
What did he say about Shaq?
He doesn't like him.
Why?
He thinks he's boring.
What's Tom's problem?
Which is the craziest fucking
The Big Aristotle is not boring.
Mm-hmm. Kazam was not boring.
He's the man who brought a Shaq Fu.
You would defend Steel as well, correct?
Correct.
Steel yeah, that's... Steel. You said Kazam, fine. And I wanted to step in with Steel, but I was afraid you were a Kazam man, not a Steel man.
I'm a Kazam man and a Steel man.
I think I prefer Steel over Kazam in a weird way.
If I got to pick one, I'll probably pick Steel.
Yeah,
but I celebrate his attack now.
Because it's probably the best Superman movie we're gonna get. Let's get honest.
That's a good point.
Well, I like the first one and a half.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.